Check.
Check
Mic check.
one, two. Coming at you live from the floor of the... Bicentennial Comic Book Con. Here in beautiful San Pedros.
San Pedros, where's that?
I don't know. California. San Pedros, Illinois.
The home of... the liquor.
The home of the fighting liquors. do you have any snow yet?
No. We had a little bit earlier in the week. Nothing big. Had some bad snow like north of us, but not.
Yeah, I thought I saw somewhere in Colorado Springs got some.
Yeah, it's north.
Those losers up north.
Yeah, going towards Denver. Yeah.
We haven't got any yet.
Was that a burp? What was that? Did you burp?
No. Okay. Might have been my chair. I keep forgetting to oil my chair.
Okay, that sounded that you got a burping chair?
Burping chair. Better than Keith's farting chair.
It's like that Alan Grant demon pillow, you know? I don't know if you read Alan Grant's demon, but he had that pillow, and he would talk. It's kind of like your farting chair.
I never read that.
Chair. Except yours is a burping chair. Keith's is a farting chair. Here's Belch's.
Let me see. What'd you say, demon? Let me see what issue. Let me go to my file.
You don't own any of that.
Hey, what the hell? Oh, I gotta. Let me open the file before I try and find it. So how are things, Michael?
They're a little bit better. They're in control, I guess. Good. As good as
Keith. Yeah, life is...
is brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
Throws your curveball. It was the first time that, I don't know, I felt like my parents were old. And I don't know it. They are, and so am I, but I just never thought about it, you know? And it really has nothing to do with his age. He got an infection in his knee, and that's nothing we can do about it, you know? It's one of those things that's like a staph infection, except he got strep in his knee.
Okay.
And all of us have strep in our bodies. It's just that it's usually under control, and this time it went to his weakest point in his body and just attacked. And they treated it as gout because he's had gout before, but this was an infection, and it kept him in the hospital for a week.
So had he had an injury or something to his knee?
Well, he's got bad knee. He's got bad knees. One knee. He has bone on bone, which means he has to go for gel injections every now and then, you know, because there's no cartilage or anything in there.
Between the bones, yeah.
Yeah, but he works just fine with it and gets along with it. And then he's got gout, which is under control because of allopurinol and, you know, drugs, which keeps your uric acid. I think it's uric acid.
Counts. That sounds right.
Uric acid counts down. So this just was like an infection that, you know, was really, really bad. And it caused when we finally, it happened when he was on vacation up here. So, you know, there's nothing worse like getting sick where you're
out of town.
Your doctors aren't there.
Yeah.
So he took him to the emergency room and, you know, via ambulance, 'cause he was in excruciating pain. And then they released him that day of, and then we were just trying to get him well enough so we could transport him down because his car was here. He was here. We had to get him down. He couldn't fly because he couldn't bend his knee. So, it was a rough time. And then I spent a week there at the hospital. And then when he was released, I left. But then my brother went down later on to help with he went down with me to help with it originally, but he left early because he had to. And then he went back when he was in rehab. He's still not home. He's in a nursing
rehabbing.
nursing rehab center, where he had some really rough days. I mean, worse than the hospital, but they got that under control, and he seems to at least be in better spirits. And then drugs fuck you up, you know. Painkillers fuck you up. They make you depressed. They make you lethargic, so you don't even know
Yeah,
what
you're
you're saying.
sleeping half the time,
Yeah,
yeah.
you're sleeping 20 hours out of the 24 hours on the day. You don't want to eat. It's just weird because you're battling all
Yeah, your
kinds of
body
other
is
shit
battling, yeah.
as this is going on. So yeah, it's those infections are nasty, and he just went to a infectious doctor. I didn't even know that was a title, but you know, because the day that we took him to his doctor, his rheumatologist, he said, "That's not gout." He just looked at it. He immediately said, "That's not gout." And he said, "I'm going to drain your knee." And he drained it and he looked at the color of it and he said, "I'm going to check you into the hospital immediately."
Yeah.
He said, "This is nothing to fuck around with." So
Yeah,
that's
it's
when
not.
he had surgery the same day that doctor diagnosed it as an infection. And then it was just trying to find out what the infection was.
So what does the surgery do?
Oh man, the gash on his knee, if you saw it's like 2 and a, no, maybe 3 inches long. They just go in there and clean the shit out of it.
So they scrape the infection out or
Scrape
something?
it out, yeah. They take it all out, stitch it back up, and then you're in pain because of these huge stitches. So
Yeah.
it's like it's hard to win, you know, it's hard to get over that hump.
So what do they get everything they can out and then just like hit it with antibiotics and stuff?
Yeah, and then you hit it with antibiotics, like what they call global antibiotics, because
Yeah.
they suspect the type based on early testing, but then they don't know the type. Like they don't know if it's staph or strep or whatever to hit it with a specific
Right.
antibiotic, so they hit it with a global one in that category. I forget what they call them. It's like gram type 1 infection or something like that, and then they hit it with those antibiotics really hard, and they alternate them because you know bacterias are fucking smart.
Yeah, the ones that live will know how to defend themselves against
Yeah, yes,
the
they're
antibiotic.
nasty. They they
They'll
they
mutate.
they mutate to evolve to survive. So you have to trick them, and you can't hit it with the same one. You have to bombard it with multiple ones just to keep them off guard, because they're nasty. Well, that infectious doctor said, for some reason, over the last couple of years, there's been like huge increases in staph infections and all this stuff. And the only thing he thinks, like, they don't know. It's like sudden hearing loss. They have no idea what causes it, right?
Isn't staph infectious, though?
It is infectious. He was in a certain ward. I don't know about the type of strep he had was infectious, but he was in an isolation ward.
Yeah. Oh, so they had
And then
quarantine.
you're dealing with like nurses and techs that aren't good. I mean, some of them are good and some of them ain't good, and they're not doing their stuff in a timely manner, so you have to babysit them.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. There's a couple times they didn't even feed my dad. I'm like, God damn it. You know, bring him a tray. Son of a bitch. But then there's some really good ones too, so you can't.
It must piss you off being tech savvy. It's like, can't you guys, isn't there a program running that it alerts you to like what
Yeah,
rooms need
yeah.
stuff at what times? It's not that
It's
hard.
a fucking checklist. You don't even need a program, God damn it. Just go through your list. It's fucking ridiculous.
There should be a screen that shows each room and what each room needs and when and
Yeah, when they got it, you know. It's pretty fucked up. And then they don't even know how to use the goddamn. They have this like electronic ice machine, and half the time they didn't even turn it on. You know, it's to keep the swelling down, and it flows cold water through the mechanism, and they wrap it around your knee so it's constantly being iced, you know, to keep
So
swelling
yeah,
down.
so it keeps the
It's
temperature.
like, God damn it, keep the ice in the fucking thing. And then you have to have water in it. Sometimes these dumbasses would just put ice in it, and it's like a heating pad, you know? It's like, motherfuckers. And then when they did fill it with ice and water like they're supposed to, they didn't turn it on. Fucking ridiculous, man.
So did you train them on how to use the machine?
And then you kind of have to watch, you know, because when they're on oxygen because of drugs and stuff, they have to keep their pulse and stuff at a certain rate. And they have to be on oxygen to keep it at 90 or higher. And then if you're not watching Dad, he'll pull it out of his nose every now and then. And, you know, it's like, it was just a lot of stuff to deal with. And it's scary too, because then you know, my mom and dad are kind of like me and Barb. They do everything together, and then my mom doesn't have my dad, so she freaks out. It's bizarre. It sucks getting old. And it sucks when you're attacked by something that you really have no control over. Like they asked the doctor, is there anything he could have done to prevent it? No, not really.
Yeah. Luckily, they caught it, so.
Well, yeah, they caught it because it could get into the bone and you can lose limbs and stuff. You know what I mean? That's why
Yeah.
you see those like staph infections that people lose parts of their
Yeah, lose their
body.
leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he probably could have easily, if it had gotten too bad, lost his leg.
Yeah. So, but now he's in rehab and it's been painful, so he's on a lot of drugs still, but he's at least able to go to the bathroom on his wheelchair and then transfer to a walker and go there, and then the drugs get you constipated, so there was like a week where he hadn't even gone to the bathroom. It was bad. So because the painkillers put your lower body asleep, you know, including your intestines and all that stuff that
Right. Yeah.
releases.
So, man. And then the antibiotics aren't good for your system either.
Oh no,
So you got
antibiotics.
tons of stuff
Well,
going on.
that's why the infectious doctor's his theory is doctors misgiving antibiotics is the cause for increases to this stuff, 'cause your body doesn't know, you know, how to fight stuff as well.
Right.
But it's all weird, man. These like inner organisms, it's like little, they're like living things, and they try to survive just like you would, you know? Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so they say, like, I think with kids, like sinus infections, they say really probably the best thing to do is not even give antibiotics and just let the body deal with it,
Yeah.
unless it gets too bad or you have to do something. But nowadays, doctors just prescribe antibiotics for everything.
And they just try to classify stuff based on what you're telling them. Do you know what I mean? There's not a lot of testing involved, unless it is something
Right.
like strep or something like that. You do a throat culture, you know, and isolate what it is, but.
But even then, so like those things aren't reliable because I know sometimes my kids have gone in for a strep test and they say, well, it came back negative, but strep is going around, so
It
it's
could,
still possible that
it's
they
still
have
possible
strep.
that they have it.
So we're going to
Yeah,
put you
and
on antibiotics
I didn't
just
even
to make
realize
sure.
that it's in your body to begin with. Like, usually that
Just in.
bacteria is in your body and
In
your body
control.
just knows how to fight it off. But yeah, I'm hoping by it, like when I go down for Thanksgiving, I'm hoping that he's walking on the walker, you know, at least.
So is he going to make a full recovery, or do they know?
Oh, they predict it. Yeah,
Yeah, that's good.
they just say he's got to fight through the pain, you know, and then he's got to get his knee under control, like, 'cause it was bad as it was. So, yeah, I'm hoping by Thanksgiving he's mobile, like on at least a walker. Like right now he can walk a little bit on a walker, but like up and down the hall, and he's exhausted, you know. But they're working it pretty good. You know, physical therapists are pretty good. Like the ones they had at the hospital were awesome because they don't give a fuck. Like, usually you squint and stuff when you're bending somebody and they're screaming in agony. A lot of these PTs, they know what they need to do, and
Yeah,
they
they're
know they
immune
have,
to it.
yeah, well, they have to fight through the pain, you know? They have to move them, because if they
Yeah.
don't move them, they're going to be in worse shape than they would if they didn't. So yeah, you learn a lot just watching like what the techs do and what the PTs do and the nurses do, and it's all crazy. And then they work 12-hour shifts, man. That's exhausting, I bet.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Don't know how they work those weird hours, long hours, especially on your feet and running around. Although maybe that helps, as opposed
Well,
to us
that
sitting on our asses for
I
12
think
hours.
once they're adapted into it, they like it because they have like 4 days off, you know what I mean?
True.
So, like a lot of the people were, I don't know how they do, a lot of the people work two jobs. It's insane. Yeah, so the infect, you know, bacterias like that are fucking nasty.
Luckily, your wife is an expert.
Yeah, she's a lot into the
Parasite into
parasite side of it, not
parasites.
really the bacteria
Bacteria.
part of it.
Damn it, Barb!
Yeah.
All these years of study, and you're no use. Parasites. Why is she studying parasites? She should be studying bacteria.
That's right.
Damn it. What a Lilith move.
That is a Lilith move. Luke Foster would appreciate the Lilith comment.
Likes it when we refer back to the Bible.
The Bible, yeah.
The original Bible,
The
that
original
is.
Bible, yeah, before King James edited it.
Right, not the edited version.
You have the unabridged, right? I mean, it's.
Yeah, the original in the it's written in Sanskrit or something.
You have the original scrolls.
Right. In my closet. Got them off eBay. Yes,
In eBay, you could buy anything.
right.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been good. Things,
Family's doing good.
yeah, they seem like they're okay.
When you look at.
Last time I
Last
checked,
time you check in every other
they're
week, they're fine.
still here. They're alive.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, they're alive. Yep, doing good. I'm just getting ready for the. I got some time off coming up for the holidays. So,
For Thanksgiving and Christmas.
yeah,
Yes,
Thanksgiving and
same
Christmas.
here. Which makes it even harder because there's a lot of stuff to wrap up, so you can take time off, right?
Yeah. Luckily, we finished a project like last month, so this is just the beginning of the next project, so it's not as.
Oh, it's not as chaotic.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we don't have the time crunch now that we do. So, timing wise, it's actually pretty good. Yeah, I hate it when you're at the end of a project right before a break. It's like, God damn
Yeah.
it.
Well, the way it works for me, I never get those breaks. So it's always like a lot
Always
of
crunch mode.
but I guess that's a good thing if there's always work. If you start not having work, then that's a sign of bad times.
True. Although I've been able to carve out some time to read some books, work-related books, and try and come up with some ideas for improving things, so.
That's awesome.
It's always good to have that chance.
One time I had I worked for an architect, you know, a software architect, and I used to love his policy. It was like you get to spend 2 hours every Friday learning new things. And that like makes you a better engineer, you know what I mean? It makes you so like, 'cause you're learning new tech and new stuff. Now, just don't, if you do it, it's on your own time because
Yeah, because you don't have time.
you don't have time.
But that's how, then you just end up being like cranking out the same stuff over and over, doing it the same way over and over, and there's no
No,
chance for.
you adapt because of you have to come up with creative solutions just because of cost and schedule, and they need it now. So you have to, every day is like engineering, like
That's
rapid
true.
solution. Some days are a lot more stressful than others, though. And but that's the life brunch.
Welcome to Real Life Brunch.
Yeah, you learn to toughen up, Buttercup. Life gets rough and you have
Kicks
to,
you in the ass.
kicks you in the ass and you have to survive.
Man up. Or woman up.
That's right.
Or Lilith up.
Lilith up. You have to Lilith up.
Yep. Besides that, I've been reading some comics,
Yes.
watching some movies.
We didn't coordinate any comics, so I'm curious to see what you've read.
I didn't. And it's been a while.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember what I read.
You don't keep track?
Sometimes I do.
I would think with your paradigm, like I keep track of everything, but I would think in your paradigm it would be even more important because you're kind of the trade waiter, so.
I do keep record. I try to keep records. Like I will pull up my spreadsheet right now.
I'll tell you this. I think you are gonna love Tokyo Ghost.
So what? So we talked about number one on a previous show.
Yeah.
Is that Rick Remender?
Yeah, and God, the artist is
Sean Murphy.
Sean Murphy is awesome. I
Yeah, and
don't
I
know,
remember.
his line work to me is just so. Is this a word, aesthetically pleasing?
That
I
is
don't
a
know
word. That is two words.
to me, like
Yeah.
to my
No, I love it.
eyes,
Yeah,
it's
I
just,
love it too. That's the style I like.
there's certain lines that artists draw and it's like rip, like whatever,
Yeah, his uber rendered
his uber
detailed
rendered
stuff.
detail. I've read some stuff of his though that it seems like he's not rendering, and I don't know if it's because he's getting more and more work that he has to find a way to produce material faster.
Well, he's doing something for Valiant now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, but like the Geomancer's really rendered. Like you look at it, right? You'd look at the page and you say, "Yep, that's him." But then you could see him doing some backups in Ninjak, and you're like, I could kind of see it, but it's
Just scroll,
not
see, yeah.
hyper detailed like it usually is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure it has to do with time pressures and schedules and probably how much you're getting paid or how much ownership you have in the property.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of factors, so how much time he's able to spend on it. Or how much time needs to be spent on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Or if he's doing something for like Warren Ellis or something, he's gonna put a lot of effort into it because he knows it's gonna sell. I don't know. And he probably has a bigger stake in that too. I would imagine the creator owns stuff.
Yeah. But Tokyo Ghost, in the first one we really liked, I think both of us really liked it.
Well,
But
the first one,
we're kind of
our
thrown
first
in.
read, our first read through, we got it kind of confused by it, and then,
We both read it again.
yeah,
Yeah.
on the second read, we were able to pick more out of it. But it was a very dense read with a lot
Well,
of stuff in the first issue.
yeah, the first issue kind of throws you into the situation. And you barely get glimpses of what the characters are. Well, the second book fleshes out the characters.
Okay.
And it fleshes out the world. And like why this tech is taking over a lot of people's lives. The one thing that I thought was hilarious though is our main female character, you know, it goes into her backstory and she's got a mother and her father was like anti-tech. Like, let's learn the ways of life so you can live. But he's married to a woman that's always plugged in and she's like fat and she's got like a huge dick strapped into her crotch and like nipple electronics attached to her, and she watches porn 24/7. That's what her mom does. Fucking A, man.
She's plugged into the sex machine.
Yeah, the sex machine. So it's like it's a pretty fucked up situation she's in.
And I'm trying to remember.
In a weird sense, it reminded me of Sweet Tooth, kind of, because you had the father trying to raise the kid, and he passes on, and then it's just the boy,
Trying
you
to
know.
shelter, yeah, shelter him.
Yeah, and
Those of the world.
this father's a little different, though. He's not trying to shelter her; he's trying to show her the world, and
Right, trying
that's
to
how.
teach her about the real world.
Right, and that's how she meets the other kid that she falls in love with, which I forget what his name is, but he's plugged into the tech, and she takes him and teaches him everything she learned, and they kind of fall in love. And it's I you're gonna forget all this when the trade comes out anyway, but it's gonna be it's fucking awesome. Like there's it is a world that you like read and you like want to explore it, you know? And it's a key thing that at the end of issue one, you don't like know the direction. Like, where's it going to go? Because they both want to quit. Or she does anyway. She's like, we completed our last mission. We want to quit now. And issue two delves into what happens after that.
Cool.
Was my favorite read of the week. And I read a lot.
Definitely have to pick that one. I think I was unsure on if I was going to get the trade or not. No, I think I was going to get the trade. Try out the first one. But I will mark it down as a definite buy.
Yeah, put it in your list
I
because you
did. I
like
got it. I added it to my.
post-apocalyptic, and this really issue two really fleshes out the world. Plus, you get the sex machine.
I can't say no to
See
that.
a fat old mama hooked up to a machine, constantly butterflying her clitoris.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
All in Sean Murphy style.
Sean Murphy style, and I really, really like Rick Remender, like for the most part. Like especially when he's like writing Image or Dark Horse books or you know, his indie stuff. Because like I love Strange Girl. I absolutely loved it. And then I love Fear Agent and you know, Sea of Red and a lot of his early stuff. And I even like I have grown such a fondness of his Captain America. Like it is so different and it's like poking at the world that Kirby did weird Captain America. So I just love it, you know. It explores like a non like different things that you don't usually see in a Cap book.
Like what? In what way?
Well, he's always like in Dimension Z, and Cap is he has like this son that he like got stole that he saved from Aram Zola, and he's like totally building the character like Cap's son to be this new character Nomad, who kind of like Sharon Carter and Steve Rogers raised, and then Steve Rogers got really old, like the serum got taken out, and he like started to age. So like, he made Sam Wilson, the Falcon, become Captain America. And while he's not writing it now, it's Nick Spencer, and I really like Nick Spencer. So.
So you're liking where that's going?
Yeah,
Rotation
I
damage
like
them.
Rick Remender. He just, I don't know, he thinks differently. At least I think. And whatever he writes, I haven't read Low yet. You probably read issue one.
I read issue one.
Yeah, so I wanna dig into that. I have it. I just haven't read it yet.
Good art in that one too. You like it.
Yeah, I thumbed through it. The art looks fantastic. He's good at picking artists, you know, for his
Yeah, he's worked with a lot of
for
good artists, hasn't
his
he?
own properties, yeah. Tony Moore and all kinds of great artists, Sean Murphy, and I don't know who's doing Low, but it begins with a T, like Tab something.
It's like an Italian name, I think.
Yeah, Tabaleo or some strange name. But he gets some really good. It's like he's kind of an artist himself, you know? So he gets I think artists that are gonna understand his work or how he puts it, 'cause they usually flow pretty good.
Yeah, and it seems that he does a good job of matching the artist to the story.
Yeah, that's important.
Fear Agent is like Fear Agent almost has more of a lighter tone to it
Yeah.
than some of
Well,
his stuff. So Tony Moore's art works well with
yeah,
that style.
it's like B film sci-fi.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then something like Tokyo Ghost, which is darker and grittier. He is a darker and grittier artist.
Fear Agent reminded me when I first read it. I don't know if you. Oh God, what was the movie called now? I think it was Battle Beyond the Stars. I think it was this one, where it has John Boy from the Waltons. But I think in that book there is a character like a space cowboy, who's always drinking, listening to Western music in his ship. And for some reason, when I read for Fear Agent for the first time, it reminded me of that character, like that I saw in that old film.
Who knows? Maybe it was based on that
Yeah, who knows?
or inspired by that. Very possible. I got some books, but I don't know what to start with.
Shoot.
Got too much stuff.
Did you read any of the 4-1, what is it,
Four,
4-1-5?
five, four, five,
4-1,
one.
yeah.
Yeah, we could talk about those.
I read every one of them.
I read Self Storage, Sunflower, and something else. What was the other one? Oh, the werewolf one.
That was the only one I didn't care about too much.
Yeah, Bad Moon Rising. I
Yeah.
didn't read. I haven't read Ex Mortis because I haven't got it yet. That must have shipped later than the others.
It was the latest one. I
Yeah.
mean, you're probably a week off, really, because they've shipped pretty closely together. Well, what?
451 is a new company that's bringing out comics. These are their first batch of comics that come out. And I can't remember who. I think someone like some director or something's. Michael Bay is one of the founders.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the plan is to spin these off into movies if they hit or what. But anyway, so yeah, I read these three.
What was your favorite of the three?
My favorite of the three was easily Self Storage.
Easily. Didn't it just flow and work so well?
It was awesome.
Yeah, I fucking loved it. Like, even when it's just like simplistic, like, okay, he got some stuff and then he goes on a date with his girlfriend and he gives her those earrings. And she's like, did this come off a dead body or where did it come from? Because he's like a storage unit guy. He doesn't know where it comes from.
Yeah, he gets everything from storage units. Yeah,
Yeah.
so the concept of this is
And he got her birthday a week early. So he fucked up her birthday. Like he was off. He knew it was her birthday, but he was off a week, which is usually the opposite, right? Usually
They
they
miss it.
miss it and they have to compensate. But this guy actually celebrated it a week early and took her to a nice dinner. So you're gonna talk about the concept.
Yeah, so it starts out that there's these guys who are gathering at a storage unit because the owner of the place is going to auction it off or sell it to the highest bidder. And they're kind of pissed because they're like, why do I compete with these guys? Why don't you just make a deal with me? That's what the one guy, right? He's like, if you have a unit, just call me and I'll pay you whatever, $300 or whatever, and take it off your hands. So they all bid on this one unit. And like you said, Mike, story-wise, it's not like big and exciting, but the way it's written is really,
The characterization, yeah, and
it's really
the
interesting
words, yeah.
the way it's written. So all the stuff that's going on, and just with the unit and the bickering back and forth between them, and with the guy who owns the place, is really
Yeah, and
interesting.
I really like Storage Wars. Like I like to watch that show, especially with my dad. When my dad's here, he likes a lot of that reality TV. Even when he was in the hospital, we were watching Storage Wars. And he was all drugged up, but he was like telling me what this was. Oh, this is a sushi cooler he's trying to sell. He'd like tell me what they'd
That's
find out
what
of it. Yeah. It's because he knows a lot about like that stuff. And he's like, I was like, what the hell is that, Dad? Oh, that will chill your sushi like at a sushi restaurant. But it read so well, like in that world. Do you know what I mean? That one, the main character went to the storage unit because the guy called him in, and he actually called in two others, and he was kind of disappointed about that. And they bid on it, and I think that locker really panned out. Like, it had a lot of collectibles and like comics and stuff, and I don't remember, but he like
I know the first. I thought the first one had like Beanie
records,
Babies.
yeah. And one had records though, right? It had records because that guy was like, "I'll give you this amount for it," and he was like, "Well, I would have gave it to you for a lot less, but that, yeah, well, I'll sell it to you for that." He didn't
Yeah,
seem
and
to.
there was
He
some
didn't
jewelry
seem
and
to.
stuff in it.
He seemed to be a more nonchalant, like, "I'll get what I can to make a profit, but not rape somebody on cost." You know what I mean? Like some of them would. He like just wanted to sell all the stuff and cash out. 'Cause that one guy on the records, I think it was records, he was said, "These are worth a lot more than you're asking." And he sold those right away. And that's how he got some of the jewelry, I think, that he went on the date. And their relationship seemed really nice and cool until he It's kind of weird because she knows what he does.
Yeah, she's like, well, I guess for her, it's like every present he ever gives her, she knows it came from a storage locker.
Yeah, and then her concern is it from somebody that's dead.
It's a bunch of stuff from dead people.
Yeah.
All she ever gets is stuff that used to belong to dead people.
And it might not be dead people. It just might be people that just default on their payment for whatever reason.
Right. But in her eyes, it's dead people, so. And then what happens? Then he goes back to the locker, and like he finds out like a couple guys are like living in one of the storage lockers.
Yeah, those dude. One was dressed like a woman, wasn't
I think they were
he?
trying on. He was trying on like the dresses, like a wedding dress or
And
something.
he was going through like a bunch of baseball cards or whatever. And I think this was a storage locker that wasn't like defaulting. They were like stealing from storage units.
They're stealing from storage lockers because they figure people won't notice.
Yeah, they won't notice a few cards missing here and here. So they would like that would be they'd live in these units. They had like cot like little cots on the floor and they would
Well,
sleep
because
in this place.
their theory, which is probably correct, is people put stuff into storage and never look at it for 10 years if they ever go back to it.
I go every other week 'cause I keep I buy like 200 20 or 25 short boxes and I store them in there. And I have to go get two every other week to fill comics with.
Is that where you keep your comics?
No, I keep the empty boxes there because there's only one retailer that does drawer boxes here in Colorado Springs. So when he gets them in from the guy in Denver, and it's hard to get them from because the guy in Denver drives them down, and he drives them down like every 3 or 4 months. So I go, and as soon as they get a shipment, I buy 25 of them right off the bat. Take
Okay.
them to my storage unit. They're empty boxes. I have them ready for whenever I need them. And
So,
when I get down to about six, I then start to worry, and I go back to the shop and say, "Do you pre-order more boxes?" Because I know it takes them a while to get them. And then I go buy another 25.
it's good
And
that you have a way of getting them, because that is the hard part. It's like, because to ship them, it's like more to ship them than the cost for the boxes themselves, I think.
yeah.
So it's good to have. So if it, I was gonna say, if anyone, so these guys who like break into storage lockers to steal stuff, they're gonna open your locker and be like, "We hit the mother load. Look at all these comic books." And then they'll open the boxes and they'll be all empty.
Yeah, that would be it. And it's in these motherfucker.
No.
Why does this
No.
bastard store empty comic book boxes in his storage unit?
So then back to self-storage. So then the guy gets a call from the storage unit owners, from the storage unit you, storage unit owner, saying that he has another unit that has been defaulted on. So if he wants it, he can come down, and I can't remember how much he says he can have it for. So he comes down for it.
500.
Yeah, like 500. And he's like, "Man, that's a lot."
But it's sight unseen. It's not like Storage Wars where they like
Right,
lift
you
it
don't get
up
to
and
peek in.
you kind of peek in there and see what the boxes look like. And he has no idea. He's like 500. But I will tell you that it's the storage unit was owned by a guy that pays for it like 10 years in advance. And then he pays another 10 years in advance. He always kept doing it, and he has no idea what's in it, but it's got to be good because he was like one of the best customers he's had because he keeps paying for it.
Yeah, it's been paid off.
And he never like goes back to put stuff in and out of it. It's like he just put something in and left it there. You know what I mean? So it's like whatever you get in there, it's got to be valuable because this guy pays for this unit sight unseen and doesn't ask or come back and put stuff in. He just paid it all in advance. It's like if I went to the storage unit and said, "I want to store these empty comic boxes, and here's 2 year, 10 years
Yeah,
worth
10
of
years. Yeah.
payment."
Yeah, so the guy, so he, I can't remember if he talked him down or what, but eventually he decides to buy this unit.
The guy wouldn't budge. He didn't talk him down.
Okay, he couldn't talk him
He
down, yeah.
tried to, but he threatened to call those other two guys, and
That's
he
right.
says, "Well, we'll
Yeah, he
bid on
says,
this
yeah,
then."
it says it's 500. If you don't, if you don't want it, then I'll call one of the other guys and they'll come down and get it. So he's like, "Fine, God damn it." So then he opens the locker and he looks in and it's totally empty. And he's like, "Son of a bitch, I just got ripped off." But then, did he get a light or something, or turn the light on?
No, I think it was the light of
Oh, just from the outside.
the outside.
Yeah.
But that's when he's attacked by this like female naked
This
zombie.
naked female, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
Such a good like dialogue though, and it made you like very interested in the five characters that they introduced, which are those other two fuckers that live in the storage unit.
Yeah.
The main guy that owns the storage unit's interesting, and then
And
our
the main
main
character.
character's very interesting, and that even the girlfriend what was interesting while she was in the relationship. I don't think they like totally broke it off because he didn't act like it was totally ended, she it sounded like from her perspective it was over. But not from his perspective.
Yeah. So it's good. Yeah, story was good, and the art was really good too. I really liked the. So the story was by Clay McLeod Chapman, and the art is by Matt Timson.
And it's black and white.
Yeah, black and white, and like what's it called? Gray toned or whatever.
Tones, yeah.
But yeah, the art was really good. So this was really enjoyable. I liked it a lot. And I haven't checked out the little card thing in the back, whatever you're supposed to do with it.
Yeah, I didn't do that either.
It's like some kind of card you can do something on their app.
Get exclusive content of some sort.
So self-storage was good.
Well, I'll rank the ones that.
So what was number two after self-storage for you?
I would say it was Ex Mortis.
Okay, that's the one I didn't read.
And then Sunflower, and then Bad Moon Rising, in that order.
I don't know. Bad Moon. Yeah, I don't know which I liked more out of Sunflower, Bad Moon Rising. I had issues with both of them.
Well, let's just talk Bad Moon for a little bit. It was more of a straightforward story about like werewolves, and they I guess it existed, this one werewolf, since like Vietnam, because they start off in Vietnam and then it kind of goes to current time. The biggest problem I had with the book, this one's in color by the way, is some of the characters that the artist drew, I couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah,
the only way I could tell them apart is from the dialogue. Do you know what I mean? Okay, they're switching this character and stuff, but a lot of the male characters looked a lot alike to me.
Yeah, and this is the one where it's this southern town, right? And this guy who went off to the big city is coming back to this small town because his father was like the police chief or something, right?
Yeah.
And he got killed, so he's coming back to take care of that. And then this biker gang's in town. But the biker gang's also werewolves, right?
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of that. Did you read that Sherwood motorcycle book? I forget what it's called. I think it was Sherwood something or another.
No, I did not. It was similar to that?
Yeah, it was similar to that because he came back to town and then kind of got jumped or put into the situation.
I think my biggest problem, I think, was this with this one is I didn't really get a good sense of the characters. Like, I don't really care about any of the characters in the book.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a bunch of werewolves have come into town and are killing people, and it's like, well, okay.
Yeah, I if I wasn't curious, I would definitely not continue with that one. Whereas the Sunflower one, there was enough there, I think, that made it interesting. Because there was it's about a woman that lost her family, her daughter and her husband in a car accident, supposedly that was instigated by somebody she knew, and nobody will touch this guy. It kind of reminded me from a little aspect of Roadhouse, because if you ever watch the movie Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze, there's a guy in the town, and that guy controls everything in that town. Like, everybody, like the car dealerships, the restaurants, they all have to pay this guy just to keep things going, and he controls things. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the guy that supposedly attacked her husband and daughter. She gets a postcard in there with her daughter's writing, and she believes her daughter's still alive.
Right.
So there was enough interesting stuff in there, at least a mystery, that made me want to continue. Whereas the other one I didn't feel is in the story, whereas I thought Ex Mortis – which is like kind of like a Creature Commandos, if you will, between the Nazis and the United States and the English, the British. It's a race for technology and stuff to make super soldiers and stuff like that. I thought that was more interesting, and it was more well written in the vein of Self-Storage, where I was interested in the characters and what was going to pan out. Whereas the other two, I don't know, the Sunflower was straightforward, but it caught my interest, and the other one, Bad Moon Rising, which already has issue two out now, came out last week, or Wednesday. It came out Wednesday. But you didn't like Sunflower, because I thought you would like that one a little bit more.
I liked the concept, but I didn't like the
The
execution.
execution.
Yeah, I didn't like the writing. For whatever reason, it just didn't. Like, the concept is good. I mean, it's an intriguing story, right? This mother who thinks her daughter is dead gets a postcard with her daughter's writing on it, and there's some kind of intrigue with the town with the guy who is the suspect, and that's all interesting, but just the execution was kind of lacking for me.
Yeah, there was. I liked the execution, but there was something about the female character that I couldn't get into, and I can't explain it. But she kind of seemed vengeful, but didn't think, like, she wasn't very smart to, like, blend into the town, you know what I mean, and ask questions that she would ask. She stood out like a sore thumb, which I think is a bad idea in a situation like she was in, like a really bad idea, especially with the guy that kind of controls the town and everybody's even scared to mention his name. So I take it that you want to continue with Self-Storage and the others not so much.
Yes, that is correct.
Are you at all concerned that there might not be a trade from this company, or
I think there'll be a trade.
are you rolling the dice and hoping for that?
I think they have big money behind them, so I think they'll bring out a trade.
Yeah, Michael Bay is like, this is pocket change.
Yeah.
I make one Transformer movie, I'm set for life.
That's right. Here's a couple million. Go make some comics.
Yeah.
Whichever one does the best, I'll turn it into a movie.
Yeah.
Although, oh my.
Self-Storage is weird though, because like I don't know where they're gonna go with it. Like it had such a powerful first issue. I don't know what they're gonna do with issue
Well, there's going to
two.
be zombies. Some
Well,
kind of
there's going to
creatures.
be a zombie, maybe. Maybe
Well, the
she's
cover
infect
shows a bunch of zombies,
Yeah, but
so.
maybe she's the only one that's infected and has been
Oh,
locked away, and
that's
she
true.
spreads the virus
She's gonna
like.
spread it. And it's gonna be this guy and his buddies, probably the guy with the dress, trying to fight off these zombies.
Yeah,
I don't know. I
their personalities were very reminiscent of Exterminators to me. I don't know if you remember re reading that Simon Oliver Vertigo book,
Yeah.
but they're very strange characters. And that's what it reminded me of, because the four characters that they introduce are very different. You know, they're very unique. And their personalities are very strange and out there. They're different from the norm.
I just like it because that seems to be something that gets forgotten a lot of the time, which is in order for us to care about these monsters attacking people, we need to care about the people who are getting attacked.
Oh, and they nailed every character. At least I
Yeah, now
think.
this one, he created some interesting characters that we're going to care about, so it should be a good ride. So definitely, yeah, I'm definitely on board with that one. I had the highest hopes for Sunflower.
That's the one, yeah,
Because
when we talked
conceptually,
previews, you had pointed that one out
yeah, conceptually, I like that
as
one.
being your hit. For
It's
some
not, it's.
reason, my hit was Self-Storage, just because of zombies and a storage unit. That was
Yeah.
the one that I
You
thought I
knew. You
would
knew.
like. Ex Mortis, I thought I would like, but I wasn't sure because it sounded so much like Creature Commandos. And Bad Moon Rising, werewolf stories are good, but there's few and far between. The last one I remember really loving was an Avatar book called Feral, by David Laugham, I believe.
Yeah, that was laughing.
That one I really liked as far as a werewolf story. And I've always liked Werewolf by Night, but I don't know what to expect from this Bad Moon Rising. It's like a motorcycle gang of a bunch of werewolves. At least that's what I got the impression with issue one.
Yep, that's what it was.
But the only character they really played with or you got to know is the guy that came back to town for his father, right?
Right.
He's the only one that they
Yeah, I think I don't know if they got into
they
the
tried to get us to like
Right,
or
who's the protagonist.
yeah.
And then there's a couple other people he talked to in town and stuff, but I don't know. Maybe it was just kind of stuff we've seen a lot, like they're looking at bodies that have been ripped up, they're like, it looks like it's been ripped up by an animal of some sort. It's like
Yeah.
how many times have we seen that before? Like
Yeah, and they
it's like
don't
come on.
believe it. Like, there's a reporter that's like, he knows, he thinks there's werewolves, and
Right, no one believes
nobody will
him.
believe him. Yeah.
Right, and they all no one can yeah, it just it seems like stuff we've seen before. Let's see, what else do we have here? Did you read any more Gravedigger or you haven't got to it yet?
I got to number two.
And
I didn't like it as much as number one, but it was still enjoyable. Number two felt more straightforward to me because it was more like, okay, they're searching for him and coming after him now.
right, we know the story. Yeah, it was
Yeah.
pretty straightforward. Almost seemed a little rushed to me too.
It was. Like number one, like put a lot of questions in there, like made you curious about a lot of stuff, and number two kind of just was straightforward fleshing out of the mafia guys going after this character.
Yeah, just kind of wrapping up the story.
Yeah.
Art-wise, though, the art was awesome, as
Yeah, the
always.
art. I like the art and the presentation of the story. I really
Yeah.
do.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's not that the story was bad in this one. It was a good conclusion to it, but it was, yeah, I agree, it wasn't as good as the first one. Now, the third one is actually like kind of like a prequel to the number one and number two.
That's interesting because number two kind of ended the story too. So I was like,
Yeah, where
sort
are they going to
of,
go from here?
yeah. Where are they going? Because it felt like a complete like, I got a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know?
Right. Yeah, the story ended. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think that number three is actually the first Gravedigger story they did, because remember, I don't know if you read the back material in either
I
one or
did not.
two.
I did not.
Yeah, because I think in one of them he said that I think they brought out this third issue as a standalone first, and it was popular, so then they brought out this new series. But they knew that a lot, no one had, or hardly anyone had gotten to see the first issue, so they decided to bring it out as part of the series.
Yeah.
So number three is a standalone story.
Do you know if it's a web comic that made it
It
to
might
print or
have been, yeah. I'm guessing it is, because the format, I'm guessing, is from a web-based.
Yeah, the format's really bizarre.
Because it's the sideways. So the yeah, number three is a standalone story. Same writer, same artist. The art style is a little different in that it's painted differently. It's more of a flat paint rather than the tone painting, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But still good. I mean, it's still the same artist, so it's still awesome art. Story-wise, it's an awesome story. It's actually probably it's as good as number one, if not better. It's a really cool, like dark, gritty, like crime story where they pull together this te he's pulled into this team where they're going to pull off this heist, and then the heist goes, and they go out into the desert, and then the heist goes sideways, and bullets are flying. It's a really, really good story. So, and actually, if people just want to check out Gravedigger, you could just pick up number 3, and it's a perfectly fine just standalone issue. So,
Standalone story.
yeah.
Plus, there's not a lot to invest if you want to get the whole thing. It's just 3 issues.
Right, and then you can go back and get the first two. But it is really good. It's a great story. So that's definitely probably one of my favorite Action Lab books.
I would say it is probably, but I really get kicked out of Zombie Trap. For they're not even in the same, like, yeah, they're not close to even being anything alike, or even the tone is so different. But there's something about Zombie
I know you
Trap
love
that's
your
like,
zombie tramp.
yeah, it's just like simple and.
I think I did pre-order the Zombie Tramp Xmas special. Xmas special.
Ah. Yeah, she just came out with the Halloween special. Yeah, I'm a Zombie Tramp fan. I think the concept, it's their best seller. It's the only one that ranks in the top 400, or top 360, whatever they show.
It's because sex sells.
Well, it's sex comedy and it's zombies, so
Yep,
it's kind of in
got
the
everything.
horror genre. It's got a sense of humor to it, and it's very light, which is good palate cleanser.
Yeah, it's a fun story. I've liked everything about
I'm
that
very
books.
curious to see Cyrus Perkins, because I did buy the Kickstarter from Dave Dwanch, and now it's starting to come out on the Action Lab Danger Zone.
You're curious to see what how it does?
No, I'm curious to read it because I enjoyed what I read of the Kickstarter.
Was a Kickstarter just the one issue, or
Yeah, just 1 issue, yeah.
is this the first issue?
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, I didn't order the first one because I thought it was the same as the Kickstarter, and I started with number 2 and
Okay.
just went on, started pre-ordering it.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting that as well.
Let's see, what else did I read that was like outstanding? Bloodshot Reborn, 6 through 8. I read that, and Jeff Lemire and Butch Geis or Geis, or I don't know how they pronounce it. I pronounce it Geis.
Yeah, that's how I always.
I think he's like perfect for drawing the
Geiser
book.
Butts.
But
I
man,
always loved him back in the day, so.
well, I loved it, and one of the issues I read hasn't come out yet, but because I'm part of the Valiant podcast, we get preview books with watermarks all over it, which are annoying, but it's still cool to like. What happened is we recorded a DC Noise Valiant episode last night, and I was th one of the things we wanted to cover was Bloodshot Reborn 6 and 7, and I got so into the damn story, and 7 ended on a cliffhanger that I was like, oh fuck, I wonder if they sent us the next issue. So I got on with Daryl and Campbell, and I said, if we have the next issue, can you please, 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 please forward me that issue? And it really paid off, and I really, really liked the story. And I imagine that issue 9 is going to be like the finale to this, the first and second trade of this book. But just to give you a concept of what this is Bloodshot got all the nanites removed from him by a geomancer in the Valiant trade paperbacker story. And he lost the geomancer that he was protecting, K. And when he lost the nanites, it's kind of like a drug addict that's going through withdrawal, and he starts seeing images of Kay. And he has like a weird relationship with Kay, like he starts thinking of her sexually and he's imagining it. So it's almost like a book of drug addicts. Like, and he starts seeing this weird little cartoon character called Blood Squirt, and it gets really fucked up and weird because he can feel the nanites, and his goal is to go back and retrieve the nanites and become Bloodshot again. And he actually gets a hold of the file that tells him about all his past. And he runs into this girl that he saves along the way from another Bloodshot called Magic. And she's a young 20-year-old girl that's got nothing left now that he killed her boyfriend that was abusive. And it is a really, really good story arc. I really like it. I can imagine that this would read out like super outstanding in a trade, like back to back to back to back, because every issue that you read, you want the next issue, and you have to wait a month. So, I think it would be awesome to just have all the issues in hand and read through it. It was another 5 out of 5 for me.
I
It's
think I have
really
the first
good.
trade, but I haven't read it yet.
Well, now you have an excuse too.
Wonder if I ordered the second trade. Let's. Maybe it wasn't solicited. Oh, it probably wasn't solicited yet.
Yeah. I did read Warren Ellis's Karnak, which is
I read that too.
a real surprise. I really enjoyed it.
It was good.
I love the art,
Oh, the art was
and
awesome.
I love the situation that they put him in, you know? Because he's kind of like he has his own monastery in the middle of nowhere, and he like
His
trains,
Tower of Wisdom or
yeah,
whatever.
his Tower of Wisdom, and he trains people like a monk monastery would.
Who's the artist? Gerardo Zaffino.
It was awesome art, don't you think?
It's an interesting style.
Yeah.
And Dan Brown was the color. I'm surprised it was a different color art. The color artist was different from the artist, because it seems like something where the artist would have colored it himself.
Yeah, it flowed really, really well. And then so Shield actually comes, you know, Coulson comes and recruits him for.
I know that's one of the things I liked, that it had Coulson and Simmons from Agents of
Yeah,
Shield.
Shield. They come and recruit him to say, "We have an Inhuman that we need your help to find," and they're gonna pay him to do it. And he's got more motives than one. Well, once it's an Inhuman, so he has that motive, and then he's getting paid, and he has to go track this down. So I thought it was really compelling and interesting
And what's
first
it?
issue.
His power is to find the weakness in anything,
Oh,
right?
he's one of my favorite Inhumans because he's kind of like, I don't know, like the right-hand man to everything. He listens to everything, but he's boring. Like, he doesn't have a lot of personality himself, you know.
Very
He's
serious.
very serious about everything. And I really like that. His power set is something I've always been infatuated with, because it's kind of like I could find the weakness in anything, whether it be organic or non-organic. Like if it's a building, he could figure out how to knock it down, or if he has to take out a human, he could find out how to, or what the most effective way to take out that person is. And it's really cool. And Warren Ellis did a really good job of introducing him to people, I think, that are not Inhuman fans, you know. Like, he gives you his power set, he sets up the situation, and lets you up on this adventure. It'll be interesting to see if it makes it past 6 issues, but I definitely saw it standing out as a perfect 5 out of 5 book for me.
I don't. What did I? I don't remember if I gave it 5 out of 5 or 4 out of 5, but it was definitely enjoyable, and I will be getting the trade. And it always makes me happy when there's a Warren Ellis Big Two book
That's actually
that's
good.
actually good.
Yeah, because all the stuff that stands out is usually for
The
independent
indie stuff,
publishers.
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Yeah, and just the combination of the story and the art, and it was just well told. It was great. Good job.
Yep, it was really good.
Here's another one that I liked a lot.
Okay.
I don't know if you read it from Image Comics, Faster Than Light, number one.
Oh, I read Faster Than Light, number one and two.
Oh, number two. And this is written by Brad Haberlin with art by, oh, he did the art too. So what is this? What was this story? So this is a sci-fi story where, dang, it was a while since I read this one. This
Well,
is.
it's really compelling because it's like at the breakthrough of a technology that will allow us to travel at the speed of light. So it's like,
Yeah, faster than light.
what if in today's world right now, scientists discovered, like right now, how to make a ship that will travel as fast as light, have light speed, kind of like
Fast,
the
faster than
faster
light.
than light, yeah.
Right, because this like genius scientist came up with, f broke through, figure out this technology, right? So they
Yeah.
can, because he's on like on the talk show or whatever, talking about it. And then yeah, so this is like the first. They're putting together a team that's going to try this out for the first time, right? And I can't remember where they're going to.
Well, they're going into space, and
But this first issue is mostly like getting the team together. So you get to meet all the different people, all the scientists who are on this team. They're all gathering at the space station.
yeah, they Barb was trying to communicate to me in like nonverbal, and I couldn't understand what she was saying. I was like, she was like, open the door, and I'm like, why? And I have no idea why. It's because of smoke? Are you making smoke? Okay. I'm not very good at reading lips or understanding motions. So when I get old, I'm in trouble. I won't be able
Yeah,
to
you're
hear.
gonna be.
Can't read lips.
Just be like, I don't know what's going on.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah, so they go into the space, and they all have different motives. Like some of them is discovery. One guy, you don't know what his motive is, but they're trying to go meet an alien race.
I
And
mean, it
then
seems like the one dude is in charge of this mission, but then
yeah.
the old captain, the female, is still there, but she's no longer the captain.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of she's okay with it because I mean it's you accept your assignments or whatever, but you can tell she's kind of pissed off that this
Yeah.
guy's coming in and taking over her ship.
Yeah. And that guy's the mysterious one. Like he's got something going on. It kind of has like an Aliens feel to it after you get past issue one.
Yeah, the end of this goes in a little weird direction that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. But which makes sense because, like, if you remember Aliens, wasn't there like a Paul Reiser character that had like monetary goals? Well, there's goals like that in this for discovery and to make money. And
Right.
there's a character that's that. And then you just have characters that, shit, this is like going to the moon for the first time and we're going to discover this. So there's good characters and then there's ones that have alternative motives. Yeah. And I would say it has a creepy aspect to it, like something that you run into that is kind of an alien life form that is very, very hard to, kind of like staph infections. Something that's very, very hard to kill. So it's pretty interesting. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I really liked the first issue.
That is one that I didn't pre-order, and I just picked up one at the comic shop, and then I wrote to DCBS and said, "Can you add it to my pool?"
Your pull.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting sci-fi story, so.
Yeah, I read a Marvel Battle World title that may appeal to you because it's so different. It's a Jason Aaron book called Weird World, number 1 through 5.
I possibly, well, one through
I
five, but go ahead.
actually think that the art style will really appeal to you, and the world that they're currently in, because it deals with this character called Archon, who, if you're an Avengers fan, it's a guy with that throw lightning bolts from another planet, that from Avengers. And what this does is it takes a lot of really obscure characters. The one that's not obscure is Man-Thing, and it puts him in this battle world. And the weird thing about Weird World is it's ever changing. So like, if you tried to map it, like Archon's trying to map it, it's never the same place. Even if you go back to the map, where you it's a world that's organic, that's constantly changing, that you can never get from point A to point B, and he's just trying to find his way home. And in the event, he runs into characters like, I was really surprised because I thought this was a licensed character. Because he had toys back in the 80s, but he runs into Crystar, the Crystal Warrior, one of his guys. And I remember buying this off of the spinner rack, and I only had like 3 issues, but I really liked Crystar, the saga of Crystar, the Crystal Warrior. And when that book came out, it was only 11 issues, but they had toys for it. So for some reason, I started to think, oh, it's kind of like Micronauts or any of that stuff. And they had this character, they had Man-Thing. They had a bunch of just really obscure, what I would say, Z-listers. The only one that's not a Z-lister is Man-Thing, and they made a really interesting and compelling story of it. And to me, Jason Aaron is just like a go-to guy now. Like what he does with Star Wars, and he does Thor's and Thor, and he's doing Weird World. And Weird World is jumping into an ongoing series, but it's a different writer. It's Simon Spurrier with the same artist. So I'm going to be on board, and I'm really looking forward to it. The only thing I'm kind of cautious is Simon Spurrier is one of those guys to me that I like his
Hit and
stuff, and
miss.
then I don't like his stuff.
Yeah, I think I pre-ordered the Simon Spurrier number one. And I think the I
I'd
haven't
re
read any of the first.
I
Maybe I
rec
should read the
I'd
first one.
recommend that one. There's 2 Battle World titles that I'd highly recommend, and that's 1852, which is the Western. It's like an Elseworld. Really, really, really good. I finished that up, and it ended like absolutely fantastic, 5 out of 5. And then the one that I think will appeal to you is Weird World, because it's so indie. For a Marvel book, it is. I'm talking about art too. It is very non-mainstream. If you could go look at some of the art from, I think I can't remember his name, but I can find it.
Well, if you said that the Spurrier series is the same artist, I'll see it when that comes
Yeah,
out.
you'll see it.
It may be based on if I what I think of that issue, I'll pick up the trade of the first one.
Yeah, the only thing you have to be cautious about is, to me, Jason Aaron is a better writer than Simon Spurrier, but I like Simon Spurrier, like when he wrote the Crossed. Isn't he the one that wrote the ones that had the characters that kept surviving based on the web comic?
Yeah, he did the
I think that's
webcomic.
Simon Spurrier, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And I have liked some of his other books. It's just that sometimes he's like a Jeff Parker to me. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. Or like Justin Jordan. He's in that vein for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's some writers that sometimes you like them, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you
Sometimes you
don't.
don't. I was trying to see if I pre-ordered the 18 whatever 40. What is it? 18 40 something.
18. I'll look. I can't remember the date. I just remember 1852, I think it is. 1872?
How
1872.
is it? Let me do a search.
This is a writer that's really hitting a lot of buttons with me lately, like good buttons.
Who's the writer?
It's Jerry Dugan.
Okay.
He's known for writing Deadpool, which is my least favorite character.
Yeah, he was writing with Posehn, Brian Posehn, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Deadpool
But
stuff.
he's been putting out like a lot of books for Marvel,
Yeah, no doubt.
and I am really enjoying his writing, like really liking it. So yeah, I'm when I see his name, I'm definitely gonna. He also wrote Arkham Manor for DC, but now he seems to just be like a Marvel guy. Like he wrote a few things for DC, but now he's like Marvel all in. He's probably making a ton of money because he's writing a lot of books.
Have he seems to be one of their big like top four writers now.
I would agree.
He's one of the guys. I mean, you see this with Marvel, I guess even DC, where they'll start him on like one book, like he was doing the Deadpool, and then if it hits, then they'll expand and expand. You'll get more and more and more and more and more, till suddenly you're writing six titles a month. What else? So, did you read Straitjacket yet from Amigo Comics?
I did not, but tell me about it. Is
Son of a bitch!
it worthwhile?
It's fantastic.
Is that one Ed Tor El Torres?
It is El Torres. El Torres with art by Guillermo Sana. And it's black and white with red
For
blood.
blood.
And it's about this girl who, let me try and remember the big, I'm gonna have to read this again so we could talk about it next time.
Well, no, tell me about it. I'll read it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember what the,
You don't, I read this and I remember loving it, but I don't know what
but
the
I don't
fuck it
remember what the
was.
hell it was about. No, I remember it's about a girl who they think is crazy and they send her to the mental ward. But she's actually not crazy because she can see like demons in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember now. So the book starts out with her standing over the kitchen table in her house, and there's a body on the table, and there's guts everywhere, and she's covered in blood. And it turns out that that was her brother. And she killed her brother because. So he could go to the other side and he could help her in her battle against the demons in the world. So they're like a team where he's on the other side and can communicate with her. Awesome. And then she, and of course, no one understands that, so she gets locked away and all the therapists are trying to talk to her and trying to figure out what's wrong with her. And there's like a There's almost like an evilness to her.
I take it that you pre-ordered the singles on this one.
I did. I'm all in single issues with Amigo.
You're a fan of El Torres.
I am El Torres horror fan.
Which
I try.
in the latest previews he's got Roman Ritual trade.
Yes, I know. Roman
I know
Ritual
you read
trade.
I know we both read the singles, but Roman Ritual's absolutely fantastic.
I think I'm gonna get the trade.
Yeah.
Just to have it for my collection. Yes, everyone who missed the Roman Ritual series, if you are a fan of horror or a fan of exorcist type stuff, or just a fan of
religion,
of good comics, the Roman Ritual is the one about possession in the Vatican, and a rogue priest who does exorcisms is brought in to cleanse the people who are getting possessed. And it's really, really good. The art is awesome, and the story was really awesome, too.
We both gave that a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, that's highly recommended.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was glad to see that it's being traded, so people are able to get it. And Straitjacket is highly recommended, 5 out of 5 as well. Hopefully, I don't know if they've done a second printing on it, so people can actually get it. I don't know if
they you know what Amigo that. Is doing now too. That's finally coming out. This is the one you don't get, but Rogues, their new series, is 3 issues in now.
I get Rogues in trade.
Yeah.
I have the first trade. I've read a couple singles of Rogues. I like Rogues, but that's more like a comedy adventure, fantasy book, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like Conan and Red Sonja, but in a comedy situation, because they don't get along very well.
Yeah. But Straitjacket is the latest horror book from El Torres, and it's fantastic. I'll read it again so we can talk about it next time. That's how good it is. I'll read it multiple times.
Well, I'll read it for next time. Let's see what else. I got caught up on Gotham by Midnight, which I gave 5 out of 5. This was Ray Fox.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Gotham mythical type. There's a Gotham division that concentrates on the unknown, kind of like the X-Files kind of thing, except they work for the GCPD. And one of them is Jim Corrigan, who we all know to be the Spectre. And he's got another cast and characters that they've developed for this series. And this is one that's being canceled, but I highly recommend it. Like, it is so well written. I am going to miss this one. The magic books don't seem to ever do very well, but I would say that the one thing New 52 has definitely gotten right is the magic world, the world of magic, with Phantom Stranger, Pandora, the Trinity of Sin, Spectre. Dr. Fate is okay. Like, it's not brilliant, but I've enjoyed almost everything that's magic related. And that was for Alan. I'm taking a bite of my burrito.
Breakfast burrito?
Mm-hmm.
A staple.
Egg, cheese, green chili, bacon, which you would hate.
Bacon? You just ruined it.
And then I smother it in salsa.
Why bacon? That's going to overpower it.
You don't know anything about bacon.
I know everything about bacon. Overpowers everything. That would be perfect without the bacon. And I don't mean that just because I don't eat bacon, but bacon will overpower it. Like,
hey, Barb, what do you have to say to Bill? He hates bacon. He says that your bacon is overpowering the whole burrito. Would you agree with that?
I want to be able to taste the chilies.
She threw you a finger. Lilith threw you
a finger. Get rid of your Lilith bacon.
It says get rid of your Lilith bacon. I saw that Luke Foster took a picture on Facebook with Micah, because he's in North Carolina now.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that.
It's on Twitter.
Oh yeah,
and it's so funny because Luke is smiling and Micah's like, "Who the fuck is this white guy?"
He looks really uncomfortable. I'm gonna have to find it.
It was Luke that posted it, right? Yeah, it's a great picture. Who's this white guy holding me?
Probably trying to remember which white guy it is.
Yeah, we're all the same.
I can't find it. Forget it. I'm gonna waste too much time looking for it.
Well, maybe I can retweet it.
I'll find it later.
Yeah.
What was I doing a search for? I don't know. Here's another book I read. Titan number 2 from Study Group Comics.
I never heard of this.
I talked about the first issue back when it came out.
This manga?
It is not manga. It's kind of like a mini comic size. It's like smaller. This is the one where so in the first issue, an investigator from Earth has gone up to this planet where they're mining. It's either a planet or like a moon, I can't remember, but anyway, they're mining this mineral that's only on this planet, and the gravity on the planet is, what would it be, lighter? I guess lighter. So they use genetically altered people who are like big, like huge kind of giants to do the mining on the planet. And these are people who, so they've been specifically genetically raised to work on these planets to do the mining. And they can't come to Earth because they're too big, so the gravity would be too much for them. And the these I think they call the Titans, that's what the name of the book comes from. And they're starting to a lot of them are starting to like form a union and trying to rebel because they're like, we're trapped in this life, like we're trapped as workers and we'll never amount to anything more than that because we're stuck here on this planet and we're stuck doing this work because of our genetic whatever, because of our bodies. So the guy from Earth who went up to work with him, he's an efficiency guy, so he's trying to make them more efficient. So he's trying to figure out how they can do the mining more efficiently. And he points out like problems and things that they can improve, and they all get all pissed off. They're like, "Who are you coming from Earth telling us what to do?" So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of worker stuff in it, like with the unions and everything. And there's a lot of intrigue in terms of the planet and the behind the scenes of what's going on with it. And then there's a relationship is starting to form between this guy from Earth and one of the women, female Titans on the planet. There's like a romance forming there. So it's a really good book. I really enjoy it.
Are they bigger? Like, how much bigger?
They don't actually say their size. Like, let me just try to find a picture where they're
No,
standing
but
next to each other.
proportionate, is it like Gigana to a regular sized one, you know?
They're probably like about, I don't know, 10 feet tall, maybe.
Okay, so they're not like really
No, they're not
off.
like, yeah, they're not incredibly different, but they're yeah, different enough. Kind of like everyone's like Andre the Giant or bigger.
Okay.
I don't know how big, I can't remember how tall he was. Probably bigger than that. Yeah, like I'd say like 10. Way bigger than an average person and proportionately bigger. So they're just like,
Ten to 15
yeah. Wait, because you know, like
feet.
Andre the Giant, he was taller, but his hand was like three times the size of
A regular
a
hand,
regular
yeah.
person's hand. So it's kind of like that. They're just like huge. But big enough where, well, like Andre the Giant, his body eventually gave out because just the gravity is so much. Like to be that big, it's just too hard on a frame. So it's good. I love it. It's fantastic. Hopefully, it'll be collected at some point.
Is this a pre-order one?
Yeah, I get that. I get that. That's on my pull list.
What's the pup the publisher again?
Study group.
Oh, I don't have a clue what that is.
I know they have a website. That's all I know. And this is, I guess I should say who created it. It's Francois. Oh. It's a French name. Vignault.
Say it in Latin, because you
François
do Latin.
Vignault.
Oh,
it's actually French.
That's beautiful.
I have to do my French accent. Bonjour, je m'appelle François Vignault.
You're bilingual. You could speak a lot of languages.
I am multilingual. I speak English with many different accents.
That's right. I read Hangman number one from Archie Comics, and I really enjoyed that. It's a brutal book.
The Red Circle or whatever?
Black Circle.
Black Circle, yeah.
Really, the Red Circle is the original imprint, but it's now darker.
They've turned it black.
It's by Frank Terry. And I got the Hack cover, which I really like. That guy that draws for Archie, that's Hack, I forget what his first name is. I really like his style. But he drew like a Golden Age cover for this particular comic.
Cool. I'm sure I ordered it.
It's brutal. It's not for the squeamish. What independent that I read the whole thing and I liked, but I wouldn't have continued if I didn't already order everything, was Kronos Commanders from Titan Comics.
Okay.
I liked aspects of it, but it's essentially a war between the Nazis and the United States trying to outsmart each other in time. So there's like a lot of dinosaurs and stuff, and it looks like there's Albert Einstein that works for the U.S. and he works for like, he has this sergeant that picks his team, and they go into this time sphere and jump the time, and they're actually trying to follow these Nazis to try to get their technology that the Nazis stole from them back. And it's pretty good, but I don't know what I didn't like about it. I guess it's just the style, or the everything else was good about it. It's, I guess, the way the words were put together that I didn't care for.
Yeah. I read the first one, but I don't remember. There was another one that was like a similar concept, wasn't there? That came out around the same time.
There was Number Cruncher.
Nah, that's not what I was thinking of. There was something with like dinosaurs and the war.
Well, there's a DC one that came out about the same time.
I don't know.
But that was good.
I think I liked the first issue of Kronos Commandos.
Look in your database.
It's not in my database. My database failed. Failed once again. Son of a bitch. Oh, Gotham by Midnight. I did read the first issue of that.
What'd you give it?
4 out of 5.
Ah. So you liked it.
I did like it.
Juan Fierro is the artist now, but it started off with Temple Smith.
Yeah, Temple Smith.
Those burritos were good. I ate two of them.
Did you eat the second one without bacon?
No. I ate double bacon, just spiked.
Double down on the bacon. I did read a trade, volume one of Reign, R-E-Y-N, from Image Comics.
Oh, is this one that you liked the first one of?
I did. I liked the first one, and I got the trade. So this is the one. It starts out, it's this world where they used to have technology, but technology has gone by the wayside, and now they're just kind of living a swords and sorcery type life, where there's different classes and different races, or not races, species, two main ones. There's Earthlings, which are split into, there's the workers, and then there's the like sorcerers, and then there's this like alien lizard looking race who's also there. And the main character of this is Rain, who is a he's a warrior, and I can't remember what do they call the warriors. Anyway, he's a warrior from this class that used to protect the land, or the wardens, but the wardens all disappeared, but now he has returned, and we don't know where he's come from, but anyway, he is now coming into this town, and he is guided by he hears this voice that kind of guides him and tells him what to do. So he meets this girl who's a sorcerer, this younger girl, and she's in trouble, and the local law enforcement are after her because they hate the sorcerers, and he's kind of protecting her, and they go like on the run. She get and then she gets in she gets in injured. Oh, first she gets captured by the lizards, I think, and he goes to no she, he gets captured, and she goes to rescue him. Anyway, so the story goes on where these two are trying to escape, and they go back to where the sorcerers are from, and you find a little bit more about what the sorcery actually is. You find a little bit more about these lizard creatures. And then at the end of the story, there's a big reveal that kind of changes the direction of the story completely. So it's really well done. So it's written by Kel Simons with art by Nate Stockman. And it's very well written, and the art was good. So I quite enjoyed it. I recommend it. I'm going to get volume two.
I have not read that. A couple of images, though, that I did read is I read Ascend, number one and two. This was the Shane Davis, who's usually an artist, doing like a, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a video game world, kind of
I
story.
read the first one, but it's not in my database, and I can't remember anything about it.
That's because it wasn't all that memorable.
Yeah, I remember that I didn't really want to continue on with it.
The best scenes I thought were the non with were him getting beat up and, like more of the human side. But when it went into the like the Tron world or whatever you want to call it was just not well conceived or executed, so it seemed worse than the other part, which it shouldn't.
I don't even remember the Tron world.
Well, it's like a video game world. He like gets sucked into the video game by like a game master called Dog, and Dog brings him into this world, and he gets powers, and he like gets killed a bunch of times by his teammates, to try to show him, what it is like in this virtual world. And then he reestablishes himself, and he realizes he could do a lot of different things in this world, like generate cars and do all kinds of weird stuff. And he meets another girl whose focus is on issue two. That's like a pop star, that's also in this game, and it's okay. But I think I pre-ordered two more, but I don't think I would have continued with it. But another book that I did like that
I
I'm
do
gonna
love the
continue.
design of the suit he wears.
Oh yeah, the art is what is good too. Like I really like the art. Like Shane Davis to me is a good artist, and I like the design of the suit. I like the way he draws that female suit too. So I guess I could say as the art was a real big plus. I enjoyed the non video game parts,
Right.
and but the book is about the video game parts, and that's why I guess I'm not, attached to this book at all.
Yeah, it's not your wheelhouse, so.
Yeah, I think if I maybe played a lot of video games and stuff, I'd be more
Connected
it'll
to
be
it.
more connected to this world. but I'm not. And the other image book that but this one I did like, and I added it to my pool. I thought it was like a really good value book because it was like $4.99, but it had a lot of pages. It was Monstrous Number One, which is by Marjorie Liu and somebody that draws very anime type style, which that's the part of the book that I'm kind of on the fence about. But I like the story a lot. It's very weird. It's like there's kaiju people and there's people like us, and there's a war between the two. And this is about this. There was kind of like a slave ring where they were auctioning off some of the kaiju people. And this one woman who's the main character, I would say she's a teenager. She's got this weird little eye engraving on her chest, and she's kaiju, but she doesn't manifest herself as it. And she's got one arm that's missing. And this one woman who's in great power, her daughter buys her off, and she's going to torture her. It's like they torture these creatures, but I don't know why. It's pretty good. I don't know if you pre-ordered it,
Yeah, I did pre-order it.
but it's God, it's got to be like three comics worth of comic, and it was only $4.99, so I think it was
Yeah, good deal.
worth it was good bang for your buck.
It's getting some, I've heard good things about it, so
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading it.
Another Marvel comic based on a ride I really enjoyed by Dennis Hopeless was Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. I finally finished that. And that was a good Western comic book that they wrote so well that at the end it like manifests itself in like aspects of the ride, which I really like because it's like a fast. It's a train that's a roller coaster at Disneyland and Disney World. I heard they're getting rid of it in one of the parks. I don't remember, but they're doing a lot of like revamping of their park because of they own Star Wars now. So Disneyland is going to do a lot
Just
with the
convert
Star Wars
everything to Star
attraction.
Wars. I heard
Yeah.
they're going to change the name to Star Wars Land
Yeah, from
from Disneyland. And all the characters walking around will just be Star Wars characters.
Awesome.
We're actually going to Disney World next year.
Oh, you are? Like you're doing the week thing?
Yep, going to take the kids down.
That's so much fun.
They've never been there. Actually, Melanie, my wife, has never been there either, so it'd be her
You're gonna
first time.
have a great time. And your kids are old enough to appreciate a lot of stuff, and
And my daughter likes the thrill rides, so she's excited.
yeah, she's gonna love that.
My son, who has only been on like the mid-level roller coasters, none of the big ones, just like the
Yeah,
small.
like the Harry Potter type.
Yeah. He says he's ready to try the upside down ones now.
All
Yeah,
right. You're a fan of
so.
roller coasters, right?
Yeah, I am.
Have you been to the Universals?
Yeah, we went
The
to Universal 2 years
Did you
ago.
do that rock and roll one?
I love the rock and roll.
Oh, that was fucking awesome. That
We
is
went
the
on that
best
several
roller coaster
times.
that I've rode in quite a while. Like it's so memorable. I love the fact that you can choose your song. So I was like, oh, let's do Limp Bizkit now. And I'm like, yeah, it's like awesome. And
I found the best song was the Beastie Boys'
oh yeah.
"Sabotage."
Oh, I did Sabotage too. I
That
rode it
worked really
multiple
well.
times. The first time I rode it, it was so hysterical, and I wish I would have bought the video because the video. Because it films you during the whole ride. It's not just a snapshot of
You're
part of the
passing
ride,
by
like as you're
every time.
falling or something. It's the video of the whole ride, but it's like $30 for the
Yeah.
DVD, or it was a lot. But the first time I rode it, I didn't know what to expect, and it shoots you up almost like at a 90-degree angle. And the cell phone was almost falling out of my pocket, so I was like trying to rescue my cell phone while my arms were strapped in. And I'm like, I'm gonna lose my cell phone, and I'm like, I had this look of terror, and then they dropped me, and I was like, oh shit! But that ride is That ride was like one of my favorites. And I love coasters, and this coaster is just so memorable.
Yeah, we like that one, and we like the mummy roller coaster.
Yeah, the mummy ride was really good. That was good because you don't know and it's so dark.
And it goes back. You don't know which direction you're gonna go next
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it goes
yeah. It's
sometimes
like
forwards, backwards.
it's like Space Mountain, but everybody's written Space Mountain so much that you already know what it is, and this one is like totally unpredictable. The one thing I'd recommend when you're at Disney World is they have the Animal Kingdom, and there's a roller coaster on there like Everest something or another, like Tour to Everest. That is a fucking badass roller coaster. Like your kids are gonna love it because you're gonna love it because it's so damn unpredictable. Like it's an awesome ride. Highly recommend that Animal Kingdom thing. Yeah, do the fast pass on that ride so you can just go to the front. Like you're gonna get a Disney World package, and they're gonna give you like these things so you can set up fast passes.
Right. Yeah, I think you get
The way
three.
the fast passes are two or three you get per day, and you just have to be there at a certain time to utilize the fast pass. So you pick the best rides. But once you're done, this is the part we didn't know until late. Like once you've exercised your three, you could find these like fast pass kiosks or these
Okay.
people,
And
and
get
you can
another one.
add another one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say. They said should try and use them up in the morning and then get another one for the afternoon for one of the bigger things.
Yeah, and there's this animal like tree in the middle of nowhere, and inside of that tree they have like this 3D ride. It's like called a 4D ride. I highly recommend it. It's like the Bug's Life 4D. It was like the best interactive 3D virtual thing I've experienced since Spider-Man. That was pretty
Really?
good. Yeah. It's like 4D.
Do they have Transformers when you were at Universal?
Yeah, it was awesome. For my age and what I look for in rides, I prefer Universal.
Yeah, for
Because
sure.
it's
They
more
have a
of
lot
a
of the bigger.
thrill ride. The one that was disappointing, but I think your kids will like, and this is a new ride at Disney World, but there's a roller coaster with the Seven Dwarfs and Snow White.
Oh yeah.
One.
The mine one or whatever.
Yeah, that one I think your kids will love. I think you'll be disappointed. Because, oh yeah, get the fast pass for that if you can. Because
It fills up.
the line is not worth the wait.
Yeah.
For you, I think your kids are gonna love it. And as long and when you are in the line, there's a lot of interactive stuff to keep the kids occupied though, like games and stuff. But that one was a disappointing roller coaster. It was more of a scenery thing than
Yeah,
a.
that's a lot of the stuff at Disney's more about the spectacle than the ride.
But the Animal Kingdom roller
Spectacles.
coaster in the Everest, it's like Expedition to Everest or something. Really good.
That's a good one.
That roller coaster rocks. Rode that one twice too. And
Cool.
I don't want to give that one away because the surprise of that one is the unpredictability of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so don't do research on it or anything. Just experience it. Because that the best part of that ride is
Not knowing what's
not
next.
knowing what's next. Yeah. There's an aspect of that ride that's very different from your traditional roller coasters.
Cool.
That's gonna be fun. But I love like Universal, like The Simpsons. I don't know if you went on that one. That was a fun ride, especially if you're a fan of the cartoon, because it's hilarious. It's like a,
The 3D one.
yeah.
That was a weird one because just the mechanics of it, like,
Yeah,
because
because
it's
they.
almost like stadium seating, but then each car, like, you can't see anyone else, and your car, like, swings and moves and stuff.
Yeah, it moves and it really feels like you're falling and stuff. And they like have like smells and stuff effects, like they burp Lisa or whatever it is, the baby, and you like smell the burp. It's like crazy shit.
A ride for Alan, I think.
Yeah. I'd love to see Alan on some of those rides. I would love to experience some of the coasters with Alan. That right there would be,
You'd pay for the DVD.
I'd pay for that DVD. I would love to see Alan on that rock and roll roller coaster ride. Oh my God, that would be awesome. I'd spend $30 to see the Alan be. I can't imagine the expressions he would make on that ride. And he likes music too, so he could pick something that
And
he
I was going
likes.
to say, you could probably trick them to come on it. Yeah, you get to listen to music, whatever
Yeah,
song you
get
want.
your song on this thing. And then they drop you. Ah.
Just can't let them see the incline.
Yeah. The
Just.
Limp Bizkit went really good with the roller coaster and Sabotage, like Beastie Boys always is good with that one. Though that's funny that I chose that one too. 'Cause I like Beastie Boys. I always think of Knutson when I hear them. 'Cause he loves the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, I know he's a big fan. It worked well. That was my favorite song for the ride. I don't know, something about it just fit.
Yeah.
Like moving fast to that song. Like you're on an adventure.
Right. They had the Harry Potter one too. They had a couple. The Harry Potter roller coaster was lame, but I bet it was good for your son.
Yeah, they loved it. We went on like 3 times, I
Yeah,
think.
that one was like, that wasn't even like a teenage roller coaster to me. It was just slow.
Yeah, it was a little.
It didn't do much. But the Dueling Dragons is pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
That's pretty good. I like that one because they kind of interact and they're on different, they're
There's
different.
two tracks, yeah.
Yeah, you experience two different things if you go on each one, the red dragon or the blue dragon. It's different.
And that's one of the. You're dangling on that one, right?
Yeah.
It's like
Your
you're hanging under.
legs are dragging underneath it, yeah.
Yeah.
But you go upside down and all kinds of stuff. And then the Hulk one is pretty good because that one shoots you out like a
That's where you get.
slingshot.
Yeah, 0 to 100 in 5
Yeah.
seconds or whatever.
That's a fast one. A fast and smooth one.
That one's good because it's right by the like cartoon
Spider-Man.
area.
Yeah. Spider-Man is excellent. Visuals. And even when they drop you, like when it
That
feels
was
like
awesome.
they're dropping you because is it the goblin? He starts throwing stuff and you feel like the pumpkin bomb's hitting you and then you're actually falling.
And
And
you
Spider-Man actually saves you, so it's really cool because you fall and
land
then
on
it
the
feels
back,
like the
the
webbing
web.
is like snapping you up. Like
It catches
it
you.
has that buoyancy, like it goes boom. You know, it's awesome.
That's what's amazing about those rides. It's like, well, 'cause it's a combination of. You're seeing the visuals, so your brain thinks you're falling, but then you actually are falling, just not
Yeah,
as far or as
it's
fast
not
as you
as
think you
fast as
are.
you think you are, but it tricks you into feeling it.
Yeah, because you feel the motion, actual motion,
Well,
and you
it's the
see the
initial thrill.
visuals, so it feels
Yeah.
like you really are falling off a building. Yeah, and then you get caught in the web.
Yeah.
That's fun. Those are amazing rides. I can't imagine the. I always try
Even
and
like
figure out
Doc.
like.
Well, I like when the Doc Ock, like, they do a couple things. Like with Doc Ock, okay, he's got fire coming out of one of his arms, and you feel the heat. Do you know what I mean? Like, you feel that heat on your face when he shoots it at you. It's real flame. Like, you feel the heat. And then they have Hydro Man, and like when Spider-Man punches Hydro Man, you get wet. You know, it's like, boom, it's awesome.
And I always try and figure out like the dynamics of the ride, like the engineering behind it.
Yeah.
Because you're basically in this little cart that's getting driven through this like big warehouse, basically.
Yeah.
You're going up and down and left to right and backwards and forwards, and just there's got to be screens everywhere, and it must be amazing just to be inside that place just to see how it's working.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to take a tour of that place, one of those places, because they're huge
Yeah. Like
buildings.
behind the scenes of the creation of the coasters and the rides, it'd be awesome.
Those are amazing
There's a lot
things.
of engineering that goes behind those things.
No doubt.
I liked a lot of those rides at Universal because they hold up. Yeah, Transformers was amazing. That was an amazing one too. The
We
Mummy
like.
one is the one that surprised me. Like I thought it was gonna be kind of lame, like going into it, and I was like, this is a badass ride.
It was awesome. Either because you don't know what to expect.
The one that I kind of was disappointed with, and I expected more, and I can't remember what park this is in. Oh, I remember. It's in MGM or the Disney Hollywood theme park. It was the
Walt
Aerosmith roller
Studios.
coaster.
Okay. Oh, really? You didn't
Because
expect that one?
I like Aerosmith, and I thought it would be like a, I don't know, like a faster experience, but it was a slower coaster. Like I thought it would just be like ultimately fast. And it was cool because I went on the ride, you know, we went on the rides with my dad and my brother. It was like a family vacation. It was a great vacation. The only bad thing is when we went, my sister-in-law and nephew were sick. So that they had to like it was either my brother that would go or, you know, it would kind of like me and my parents would go somewhere, but the kids wouldn't. We'd take my niece with us, but Pat would be there taking care of everybody. It
Yeah.
was weird, but it was so much fun. You're gonna have a blast. Your kids are gonna love it because, in my opinion, the kids will get more out of Disney when they're younger, like,
Right. Yeah, yeah.
and then more out of Universal when they
When they
more
get older.
appreciation when they get older.
Well, they both did love Universal. Well, my
Yeah.
daughter went on like all the rides and she likes the big roller coasters, so
Yeah.
she was
Did
totally
she
into it.
go on the rock and roll one?
Yeah.
Did she
She was a
like that
she
one?
loves that stuff. She like the
Oh, that's
first as soon as we got
awesome.
there, she wanted to go on that first. I'm like,
Oh, that was
I need
like
to warm up
awesome.
to that one.
No, I have to admit, that's got to be my favorite roller coaster, like right now, right at this moment of all time.
It's just a fun roller coaster.
But because there's so much to experience, it's got drops, it's got loops, it's got high speed, it's got the camera of the whole
And it's got
experience,
the music.
and the music. You get to pick the music as you go through this
And it's
journey.
good because the speakers are like right in your chair, like right
Oh,
behind your head.
right.
So
So you
it's all you can
it's
hear.
that's all you hear, right? Although Barb did hear me say, "Oh fuck," or something like that,
And screaming, yeah.
because my phone, I was gonna lose my phone, and then they dropped me because I wasn't paying attention to the drop. I was paying attention to losing my phone. So I'm like, I gotta, because it like straps your arms in weird, so you kind of have to like, how do I get to my pocket? Because my arms are way up
Yeah,
here.
to grab my
Yeah.
phone. And I like the in yeah, they like you said, the incline is pretty much 90 like straight up.
Yeah.
And that's good 'cause that's like it builds up the anticipation, right? Because
Oh
you're just going
yeah.
up,
Yeah.
waiting,
Yeah.
waiting.
When Barb saw the video, it was so funny 'cause she couldn't see my face when we're riding, but
Yeah.
I had this look of terror as I was gonna lose my phone. 'Cause I'm like, my phone is gonna fall out of my pocket 'cause I had shorts on and I have a pretty big ass iPhone. And I was like, I'm gonna fucking lose my phone. And I was like, this look of terror. And then they dropped me, and I'm like, yeah, Barb was laughing at me because you heard me go like, oh fuck, right? Didn't I yell something like that? Yeah, Barb said I was screaming like a little girl the whole time.
Was it about the ride or the phone? Did you
Well,
eventually get your phone?
the first part was the ride, the phone. Like when you're going up at 90 degrees, you're upside down. And then the rest of it was the experience of the ride because I didn't expect it. You know what I mean? It's like an adrenaline when your heart drops when you think you're gonna lose your phone or something, or you don't have something, you know, or your wallet's missing or something. You have that like gut, your stomach goes, oh shit. And then you have the real oh shit moments that you experience from the ride. So yeah, that's good stuff. So we had a lot of Disney talk. Do we have any movies you want to talk about?
I'm trying to remember. I haven't gone to the theater in a while, so I don't have any theater movies.
I have one theater movie, but I'm gonna have to ask Barb on the title. I know what the movie is about, but I can't remember the title. What was that? What was it? Oh, okay. We saw Crimson Peak, the Guillermo
Oh, I want to see
del Toro
that.
one.
Yeah.
It's a very unusual movie. It's a ghost movie. I don't want to give it away because there are kind of like those, what do you call it? Like suspenseful twists that make the movie. And if you don't know what they are, it makes the movie better. But it is a ghost movie, and you know the general plot is this woman or the daughter of this rich guy in the United States is kind of introduced to this rich guy who's Loki, Tom Huddleston, I think that's his name, and his sister, and he grows a fondness for him, but the father knows that this guy's not a good person, and this daughter has the she's like a writer, she's like a female writer, but nobody will take her seriously because she writes ghost stories. And that's not a female thing to do during this time period. So she wants to be like a writer, but she has to try to be like a ghost writer, like where they think it's a man, because they won't take her seriously if she's a woman. But the costuming and the architectures of the movie are absolutely fascinating because of the time period and stuff. It's an amazing piece, and it's good acting too. It's slow, but there's a lot of payoff in it.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely want to see that one. Okay, I found what movies I watched. I watched two movies that are actually similar. One I thought was a more. I initially thought one was a comedy. So they're both spy movies. I thought one was a serious spy movie and one was a comedy spy movie, but it turns out they're both just actual spy movies. Kingsman and Spy.
I saw both of those and I liked them both.
I did too. They were both very good. So
I
Kingsman.
know which one I prefer.
I preferred. Which did I prefer? I don't know. I like them both.
I liked them both, but Spy felt more like a comedy, whereas Kingsman was based on a comic book by Mark Millar called Secret Service,
Right.
and I had read it, so I kind of knew what to expect with that, but I really enjoyed it. I like Mark Miller's movies. I'm gonna say Millar because I always said it because that's how you spell it. But
Yeah.
I like his movies. Like, you know, I would like to see him do Chrononauts and a couple other books that, you know, he's putting out there.
And he was actually involved in the movie too, because on the DVD he's like one of the special features is him talking about working on the movie and how what they had to change for the movie and stuff. Yeah, I liked both. The only thing I didn't like about Secret Service was I thought the villain Samuel Jackson was kind of cartoony.
But that's the magic of Mark Millar's movies. No, I'm serious, because if you look at Kick-Ass, the villains are fucking ridiculous. And what was the other one he did with Angelina Jolie? Help me remember that name. I'm getting too fucking old. What was it? Wanted. Wanted. He did Wanted too.
Right.
And
I
that's
haven't seen that.
the magic of his movies is the villains are fucking out there. Like Samuel L. Jackson,
Bizarre.
it reminded me of like a Quentin Tarantino type villain. You know, just like
Yeah, definitely.
this fucked up dude that thinks he was just and he's fucking insane. He almost had like the behavior of a child, but was smart, like an adult. It was very weird.
Yeah, he was very childish in his idealism, I
Yeah.
guess. And then Spy, I thought was going to be more comedy, but I was actually surprised me that it was more serious. And
Yeah,
I
but you
liked
know
it.
who I thought was funny was who's that guy you like, Barb?
Oh, Jason
Jason
State.
Statham. That was the
Yeah,
funny part
he
of the
was
movie.
funny.
He went above and beyond of he because he was so dramatic, you
Yeah.
know? He
He was funny
was,
because he'd swear like every line he would
yeah.
swear.
And he would be legitimately angry, you know, because she would piss him off. I liked his character in that movie. It didn't have a lot of like laugh out
Yeah, they're
loud.
both good though. There's some awesome. Right. And I like the Kingsman had some awesome fight scenes.
Oh yeah, that
That
chick
guy was
with
a badass.
the chick with the what do you call it feet? The blade feet
Yeah, the
too.
blade feet. Yeah.
And that the main character, not the kid, but the other guy could fight like awesome.
So I enjoyed both of those. Definitely worth seeing both of those.
Yeah. I like Kingsman a little bit more. Plus, I liked how when he got the girl at the end, he wanted to put it in her butt.
Was funny. Is that in the comic?
I don't remember.
And
See,
then
on the
TV.
TV front,
I know you finished
I
Daredevil,
finished
right?
Daredevil. It was outstanding.
I'm about halfway through it.
Well worth it. I love the Kingpin character. I mean, I think he's very different from the comic book, like as far as tone. But his seriousness is the Kingpin. But I like how you kind of see him in a sympathetic fashion a little bit. He just wants to clean up Hell's Kitchen, but he's a villain to do it, you know? And Vanessa, his wife, or in the comic books, they nailed her. I mean, she's good. She's a really good actress.
Yeah, I like her.
Are you still watching Walking Dead?
Nope.
That's been really good. Why'd you stop? You just didn't like it anymore?
It was dragging on too much for me. And I didn't like it. I don't like any of the characters. I don't like the actor who plays whatever, Rick or
Rick?
whatever. Yeah,
That's
I
your
think.
pretentiousness, I think.
I was wanting them all to die.
That's why you like the cross, because
Because everybody dies.
they grant your wish
That's
every
right.
comic book, every
Maybe
story
that's
arc except for Simon
it.
Spurrier's, they're all dead.
Like annoying characters, and then they get to die.
Yeah.
Yay. Eventually, I'm gonna. Oh. I plan on returning to Walking Dead at some point.
I'm all caught up on comic book men. We started watching Modern Family. That's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm up to date on that pretty much. Yep, still good.
We also watched something else, but I can't remember. There's another TV show. We're behind on Flash, but we're not as behind. We haven't watched any Arrow this year, but we're keeping them. We haven't started iZombie season 2 yet.
It's been good.
We haven't started the new American Horror Story Hotel.
I'm
Well,
still behind on
iZombie,
Flash.
Melanie likes that one too, right?
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than the comic book, so.
I don't remember the comic book. I don't remember the D. What makes it different? I know this one's more methodical, like a episode to episode thing with
Cerebral,
like
yeah.
a thread that kind of keeps you going, like an ongoing thread, but everyone's like procedural. I have no idea what season two is about. Is it very similar?
It's con yeah, it's continuing the story with the bigger story about them trying to find the cure. Well, the one guy's trying to find the cure for the zombies, and then the whole Max Rager stuff.
Well, in the first season, he was bit too by that mouse or whatever.
Yeah.
The rat. There's one other series that I just can't think of that we're caught up on, but I don't remember what it is. I wanted to watch the Daredevil before they started the Jessica Jones, you know, and then jump in
Yeah,
on
just
that
so you
one.
could be. And I think I'm caught up on Agents of Shield. I know you don't watch that.
I started though because I know Barb doesn't care about that, and then when she, there's certain shows that I can't watch without her. There's like certain lists, she doesn't care if I watch Agents of Shield. So like if she's not around and I want to watch something, I'll put on Agents of Shield. Like I haven't started to like it, but I watched the first two again.
Yeah, it takes a while. It took a while to get good.
I did watch some Netflix movies
Oh,
that were
Mike, hang on
weird.
a second. I gotta go do child
Sure.
stuff.
Child stuff. Yeah. I won't mention it, but Bill had a child thing. He had to go lock him, chain him to the fence or something. Yeah. I knew it was a comedy, I just couldn't think of it. I was gonna go look at the ones I was watching, because I watched a couple of movies that while I was in Albuquerque, and I can't remember. Oh, I remember now. I watched Kung Fury. I started watching the one that I told you I didn't like, but I haven't finished yet. I'm trying to find what recently played. I don't like the way they order this shit. I can't find it now. It's really bugging me. Watch it again, trending now, popular on Netflix. Do you remember what I watched about those dudes that get that the Loft? And The Stranger, that was the other one. That was a good one. Continue watching. Yeah, there it is. The Stranger. I think I talked about the interview already. Yeah. I'm gonna pause the cause because I think Bill is gonna be gone for a few. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I didn't know if I was on mute. Yeah, so the other thing that we watched was The Muppets, which I thought the
Yeah.
last episode was absolutely hilarious. It was a simple plot, but man, it was funny. Kermit started to have a nervous breakdown because of all the bad things going on with the show. So Piggy and his current girlfriend suggested he go to some spa where they're doing yoga, and he tags up with Jason Bateman. He turns out to be a real freak. And meanwhile, Scooter's back at the he's taken the leadership role from Kermit, and it turns into a hot disaster. And I thought it was hilarious. I'm enjoying the Muppets like a lot more than I thought I would.
I tried to watch the first episode, but I wasn't into it yet, so I decided to stop and I'll try again sometime.
Yeah.
I gotta wrap my. I still have to wrap my mind around it. About this adult Muppets.
Yeah.
The
So,
concept.
I like it. I like it quite a bit. There's other movies I watched on Netflix. I forgot because the one thing I didn't take any comics with me when this whole ordeal happened with my dad. But I did watch Kung Fury on Netflix.
Okay.
And what this is about, it's like a Black Dynamite, except for the 80s. And it's more video game, makes fun of a lot of video game genres. It's hilarious. It started off as a Kickstarter, and it got approved. And then I guess once they released it on Kickstarter, it was a cult hit. And it's been real critically acclaimed on Netflix. But that's Kung Fury. I'd recommend it.
Make sure it's in my queue.
Yeah, Kung Fury is good, and it's only half hour. It's a movie that's like only like 40 minutes, so it doesn't take long to watch it all. But the effects are good. Like, this is a Kickstarter by amateurs and stuff. It's really good. And let's see. It pokes fun of a lot of 80s genres that happened at the time.
Yeah, I remember watching the trailer video or the Netflix – or not Netflix, son of a bitch. Kickstarter video for it when they were raising money.
Yeah.
It looked really funny.
So Kung Fury is out on Netflix. I highly recommend it. The other one that I still need to finish, but – I don't find any redeeming quality other than the actors are outstanding. It's got Captain Cold from Prison Break, that actor. It has Dr. McCoy and Judge Dredd actor. I forget what his name is. Who else does it have in it? It has the guy from Modern Family that's the one heavier gay set character. It has him. Man, it's got a lot of big actors. It's called The Loft, and I guess the thing I didn't like about it is the premise is just so fucked up. It's about these buddies that they buy this right nice loft, and the whole purpose of the loft is they all get a key so they could take women up there and fuck them while their wives don't know. And something happens, and there's a murder, and it changes the game plan, and a lot of things change, and they start turning on each other. But the acting is really good. There's a twist that's pretty good. I just have about 30 minutes left to watch of that. The other one I watched that I really liked, and I don't know if this is a foreign film. No, it's not a foreign film. It's probably like a real indie film. It's called The Stranger. It is a fucking weird movie, but it's essentially about this stranger just comes into town and knocks on this door of this boy and this mom and says, I'm looking for so-and-so, this woman. And the boy shows him where the woman is and he takes her to the gravesite. And while this guy's at the gravesite, he gets attacked and beaten by three punks, like beaten to death. And the kid later saves him. And, it's got twists and turns, and it's kind of in the realm of vampire / werewolf, but I'd recommend it. It's called The Stranger. So those are the other Netflix movies that I watched.
Cool. I did watch one Netflix movie, Devil's Pass.
Oh, I watched that the last one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was so that's about where it's kind of like a found footage one where some kids or college kids or whatever are going up to investigate this case where hikers back in the 40s disappeared under mysterious circumstances. So they're going to go try and find out what actually happened to them
in Russia.
Yeah, in Russia.
And it's based on a true story.
Yes. In that some hikers disappeared, or some hikers died in the mountains
Yeah,
under suspicious circumstances.
that's the only true part.
It
Other
was,
than that, it gets really ridiculous.
yeah, no, it
But
goes.
it's well told, so it's awesome.
Yeah, I liked it. It was quite enjoyable. I liked it. Think that's about it. And I finished watching Catch and Halt, or Halt and Catch Fire season one.
Ah, how did that turn out?
I liked it. It's a good, it's an interesting story. So I'm looking forward to season two when that comes out, when they bring that over to Netflix.
Yeah. Well, that takes us to the end of this episode, unless you've eaten anything interesting.
I got a pressure cooker recently,
Oh, nice.
like an electric pressure cooker.
Yes, we have one too.
So I've been making a lot of beans and stuff.
I'm boring.
I've per I've perfected refried beans, so I love that I can whip together refried beans like.
Well, that's good for meats. You should try it with chicken and.
I am gonna try some chicken, not for me, but for my kids.
You know what really does good in there is we do like a Dr. Pepper or beer chicken. Oh, those do really good in the pressure cooker.
Do they?
Yeah, because the beer or the Dr. Pepper, they keep the meat so tender.
Yeah,
Like it's just so
well,
moist.
that's the nice thing about the pressure cooker is that it doesn't let any of the moisture out, so whatever you put in
Yeah.
there retains all the moisture.
Potatoes cook really good in there, like the rosette or what do they call them, potatoes. If you have like a pot roast or something.
I just like that, like I can make like baked beans, which normally if like in a slow cooker it'll take like all day. I can like
What kind of
get them
baked beans
done
do you
like in
eat?
an
I
hour.
just open up a can, throw it in a pot pan, and put some brown sugar and ketchup in it, and I'm set.
Oh, can't why you, once if you have a pressure cooker you don't need to ever do canned beans again.
Van Camps with some Van Camps pork and beans with brown sugar and ketchup and onions. And if you're really ambitious, throw in some hot dogs or some Vienna sausages in there.
Shame.
I'm getting you hungry, I know it. All this talk of meats.
I don't know what I'm gonna have for lunch today.
So that's the mean thing is I'll eat your falafel dirt and shit like that to for solidarity, but you won't eat my meat.
It.
Eat my meat! I tell
Please.
you to eat my meat.
I've eaten meat. I grew up eating meat. I know what it
Yeah.
tastes like.
But you haven't tried it yet to see what I how I feel. Have some empathy.
See, the difference is I grew up eating your meat. You did not grow up eating my.
I remember those are good times. You ate my meat. Those are good times. Especially in high school when you ate my meat.
Well, I needed help with my homework, so.
Yeah. So you ate my meat and I did your homework.
We said we weren't going to talk about this.
Okay, I'll edit that out.
Thank goodness. I trust your editing
Yeah.
capability.
Don't worry about it, it'll be out. Nobody will ever know that you ate my meat.
Wanted
Until
to.
Daryl posted on Twitter.
Daryl
Yeah,
will never know.
you'll never know.
Never know. Oh, I did want to. There's a couple things in previews I wanted to point out. Let me see what they are.
Let me go grab it.
Wait, is this the new one? Yeah, this is it. Prez looks like it's actually getting a collection. So if you've been sleeping on that one, that's highly recommended.
Except a lot of the later issues feel rushed.
That's because they had to rush.
Well, they made a 12-issue series into five or six, so.
They're forced into it.
I think it would have played out a lot better if it they let them do the
Oh,
all the
sure.
way through.
From I think Dark Horse is releasing this Space Mullet Volume 1.
I knew you were gonna pick that.
It's a web comic right now. This is the first collection of it. I love it. I've read some of it as much as I can stand of reading web comics and like it. I love his art, so looking forward to that one.
Let's see what I'd pick from Dark Horse. I get a lot of Dark Horse. I just they're ongoings.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna get Leaving Megalopolis by Gail Simone and Jim Calafiori. I did the original Kickstarter.
Okay. I was gonna ask if you had read the first one.
Yeah, I liked it. It's one of those where they lock superheroes into this one megalopolis where the superheroes have gone crazy and nobody can escape. The regular humans are even trapped in there, so it's good stuff. That's, I guess, my pick from Dark Horse. From DC, I would say go with either Poison Ivy by Amy Chu and Clay Mann, or what was the other one? Swamp Thing,
Yeah,
which is
Len
Len
Wein.
Wein and Kelly Jones. And the other interesting one is Suicide Squad Most Wanted, Deadshot, Katana. There's also a new
Yeah,
Green
and
Lantern title.
there's a new Wonder Woman by
Yeah.
Renee DeLise.
I think that's going to be good.
Liz.
It's a digital first, I
Yeah, I'll
think.
get that. And then, hey, do you think I could read Robin War number one and two without reading any of the tie-ins and understand it?
I don't know. 'Cause a lot of Batman and Robin Eternal is leading up to it, but it is a standalone story by one writer, and that's Tom King, so
It's a two-parter, but
I would say give it a shot
I
and
guess I
see.
can always get the second one, and if it doesn't make sense, then I'll have to go back and. Cat, what are you doing?
Did you get another cat finally? Or is it just the original one?
Just the original one. We're thinking about getting another one,
Yeah.
but I
On
don't know.
IDW, I pick Victory City, number one of four. It's in the vein of Seven, a mixed thriller mystery, and
Yeah, it's
elements of
the
a touch
horror
of
one.
horror. That looks pretty
Yeah,
good.
that's
And
of.
I'm going to get Gutter Magic by Rick Donick
Yeah.
and Brent Barkley.
Yeah, that's about magic in the real world. That should be good. You gonna get that Kirby thing?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I have so many Kirby books. I'm gonna try the Cry Havoc. I like the preview pages by Simon Spurrier and Ryan Kelly from Image.
Yeah, I'll get
Gonna do
that.
that one. I'm gonna do Four Eyes because I like the first series.
I'm so happy that Four Eyes is coming back. I loved that first series.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that's coming back.
I bet you're jumping on this Prophet thing too, right? Or it's not Prophet that you liked. It was I thought you liked Brandon
Glory.
Graham, though. Glory.
I was reading Prophet, but then I dropped off because I didn't really care for the story. I'm getting the Spawn because I'm getting
Eric Larson.
the Larson stuff. I'm excited to see that one. See what this
Yeah, it should be cool. I'm a huge Eric Larson fan. I get Savage Dragon still, but I think he might be going on hiatus then. From Avatar, I'm gonna get Code Prue by Garth Ennis. That's a done deal.
For sure. That one, and the, isn't there another one? Oh no, maybe that was the last one.
Aftershock, I am gonna buy. What is this? American Monster and Strayer. American Monsters by Brian Azzarello and Juan Do.
What page are you
And
on?
I'm on page 238.
Okay.
This is a new
Oh yeah,
company
American
by
Monster.
Mike Martz is the editor.
Oh yeah, that's the one. They had a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah. And Strayer is by Justin Jordan and Juan Gideon. I'm going to get that. And I'm already getting the other ones. I think this is a company to look out for if you're investing, because I think the print runs are going to be under 10K and the demand will be great.
They got a lot of big names working on their stuff too.
They sure do.
Oh, to go back to Action Labs, they have a new Vamp Blade number one coming out.
Yeah, I'll be getting that. I liked her in Zombie Tramp.
Yeah, the Zombie Tramp crossover. Yeah, she was an interesting character, so.
Code Prue. Oh, there's another issue of Copra by Bergen Street Press. This is
Yeah, the
volume
collection.
three, which I'm gonna have to check right now to see if I remembered that one. I'll be pissed off if I forgot it. It's an easy one to forget. And then Black Mask has Clandestino and Zed.
I'll probably get that last contract from Boom. Written by Ed Brisson.
Yeah, I'm doing that. I like Ed Brisson.
I like his crime stuff a lot. I didn't care for some of his other stuff, but I like his crime stuff.
That OGN looked pretty good too, but it's $25, so I passed on it.
Which one was that?
Mazaleth, it's on the page prior. The preview pages look pretty cool.
Yeah,
It's
it's tough to drop.
$25 for 96 pages.
Yeah, it's tough to drop $25 on a something sight unseen. Well, I guess it's not quite unseen, but ow, cat, stop biting me.
I'm gonna get Belladonna.
Belladonna looks awesome. Mike Costa, Boundless, Naughty.
Yeah.
Oh, did you read Web Witch number one yet?
Not yet, have you?
I did.
Was it good?
I liked it. It had like two stories in it. I like the
Yeah.
first story better than the second story.
Oh, okay.
The second story was a Tim Vigil story.
Oh, I like him. That's Faust.
Yeah, Faust.
That was one nasty book, man.
Nazi.
I was buying that nasty shit in college. It was so nasty.
Web Witch is. Let me. I think that's pretty nasty too. Let me. I can't remember how
I
much
think
nastiness got there was in it. Oh yeah,
from
there's
it's pretty bad.
lots of vaginas.
JJ's.
There's naked people. Very.
What Image comic did I read recently where the guy's dick was just hanging everywhere? Oh, you're gonna love Tokyo Ghost. There's number two has got like dick.
Dick's hanging.
Oh my God, does it have dick? You're gonna love that.
We'll
There's this
see.
rich fucking asshole that always is just naked, and he's like so rich that like he gets out of his dirty bath water and he has this like slave girls, they'll just drink out of the dirty bath water. He says, "You can now drink my dirty bath water." Oh God. Devolution by Rick Remender.
There you
Speaking
go.
of, we might see some more dick in here.
I I don't know. Will Boom have dick?
Dynamite.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dynamite. What did I say? Oh, Boom.
Yeah, Dynamite I don't think does dick.
Didn't think so.
I went for Creature Entertainment, I'm gonna get the gun number 2. And from Cosmic Times, I'm gonna be getting the Scales of Time.
I read the gun number one.
Yeah.
I thought the story was okay, but then at the end, I really liked it. Like, it ended really well.
Oh yeah, it ended really well. This book is so old though. Like I bought it like
I know.
6 years ago at a con, and now it's just coming out like in previews. So what I did is the exact same thing. I didn't buy gun number one, but I'm getting gun number two. So you'll have to refresh my memory how gun number one ended.
Well, I think it's probably a standalone.
We got Red Sonja number one, third volume. That's gonna be a good one. That Kill Darlings looks pretty good, but for $20.
What page is that on?
That's from Devil's Due on 309. There's a Mercy Sparks book, 40 pages for $6.66. It's called Who the Fuck?
Yeah, that's what is it, like a who's who or something? Definitive guide for any to anyone who's anyone in the world of Mercy Sparks.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll get that. I get the trades though. I do like Mercy Sparks.
Yeah,
Yeah,
who's
Kill
who's
Darlings.
hit or miss? Kill Darlings is $20, but it looks good.
Yeah, interesting. I haven't read anything by Dan Schaefer.
Got Self Storage number 4 from 451. I guess the one we're still waiting for is Humbug, and we're still waiting for the first issue of 6.
Six, yeah. That'll be the next one, I think. Six.
From Heavy Metal and Donny Cates, one of our favorites, we have Interceptor number 2. Make sure to order that.
Oh, there's one on 329. The G.I. Joe versus Cobra Welcome to Springfield special with art by Robert Atkins.
Oh yeah.
Because remember he did those videos? Because when they had the convention in Springfield,
Yeah.
the G.I. Joe convention or
Those
whatever it
were
was.
good, yeah. They were like Seinfeld type satires.
Guess that with Cobra Commander.
Jet City.
Which one did you just point out? Oh, the heavy metal. Oh,
Heavy
Interceptor.
Metal and Interceptor.
Donny Cates. In Sanitarium number six.
Yep.
The last issue.
Black Bag just came out this last week from Legendary. I'll see what that one's about. Gallery of Terror from Mike Wolfer Entertainment.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna get that. I did order his like
Trade.
the black what is it, Widow or something.
Yeah. Let's see, anything else in the back half?
I get that Man Plus from Titan.
Yeah, that's resolicited though. I bought that a long time ago and they're
Never
resoliciting.
came out. New Muppets action figures.
Yeah, I got those for Barb. Although I'm not crazy about their choices. Gonzo and Scooter are pretty cool. Kermit, this last Muppet was my favorite Kermit episode ever. Like, I'm kind of neutral on Kermit, but this last one was just so good.
Kermit's winning you over.
I'm a big Jason Bateman fan, though, too, so I was really happy he was in the last episode. Bloodshot number 10 is an all-new jumping on point. I'd recommend it. It's got Jeff Lemire and Louis LaRosa is the artist, and he's pretty awesome. Faith number 1.
Yeah, I was gonna say a new Faith series starting.
Yeah, it's a 4-issue mini, I believe. And let's see what else we got.
Got one from Zenoscope, Escape from Monster Island.
I ordered that too.
Yeah, I'll get that one.
I ordered a couple more from Zenoscope. Let's see, I ordered the Monster Island one. I ordered the Steampunk. I like
Oh, the steampunk
Steampunk.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really note
And
that.
I did order Red Agent, I think. I'm not sure. I think that's Red Riding Hood, but no. I guess Red Agent's somebody different.
A Red Agent. Mission Impossible meets Grimm Fairy Tales. Red Riding Hood.
Steampunk is going to be pretty good. It's Pat Shand on writing. It doesn't list the artist, but it's only 2 issues, so it's not a huge investment if I don't like it. That's about it, man.
About Marvel. Jeff Lemire, Old Man Logan series.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be good. It's weird 'cause I'm not like a Marvel guy, but I've been really into what I've read since what do you call it? Secret Wars. Actually buy the Marvel bundle.
Yeah,
The
so you just get everything.
hard part is going to be when they stop the bundle, which ones am I going to continue on with?
Yeah. You'll have to decide.
Yeah. I know what I'll drop. I'll drop Deadpool books for sure. Because I just don't like Deadpool. But. So those ones will. That's a no-brainer for me. And he's in like 3 ongoings right now, so.
Of course, he's their big character, or one of their big characters.
Yeah, they got Deadpool Spider-Man coming out now.
Is written by Joe Kelly.
Yeah, who's one of the guys who made Deadpool popular, right?
Yeah, he was doing it for a while.
Gail Simone and Joe Kelly, I think, is what changed the character Deadpool to what he is now. I think Joe Kelly's the one primarily did it. All right. You know what I did get? And I don't know if you ordered this, but it was a really good bang for your buck. I mean this with all my heart, based on the weight, the size, and how page count. Is the Goon Library Edition, Volume 1. It was only $40, and it looks like a Marvel Omnibus, which is $100. And that was without discount, and I think the discount was 40% to 50% off.
I did not get that. Did that come out already?
Yeah, I just got it in this week's shipment.
Don't
It was a heavy thing.
think I have to look it up. Maybe I got it. Don't remember.
Alrighty, I think we could wrap this one up, tie it in a bow tie, and you could go eat some of my meat for lunch.
Gotta figure out. You gotta pressure cook your meat.
Yeah, pressure cook my meat. I got the latest crossed, and it has 4 kids playing on the playground, kicking their mom's head in the air.
Pine and Cry. I need to do some cross reading.
Yeah.
I'm behind. Terribly behind.
Bedtime stories for your kids.
That'd be good.
All right. Well, we'll see you all next time. You can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and leave an iTunes review. We like those. That's kind of like how you pay us.
Or you can send us money.
That's even better. Send it to my address, though. I'll coordinate the money, the bill.
What? Just PayPal to Bill. Compromise. No, I don't have a PayPal there.
All right. And
I can't find this Goon thing.
Goon. It's called the Goon Library Edition, Volume 1. Are you looking at in-stock trades?
No, I'm looking at my orders.
That's because you didn't order it.
That could be why it's not there. Library. I remember that. I want to see what my decision was.
It was that you didn't order it.
Because if it was that many issues for that cheap, and I do like the Goon.
Yeah, it was $40. I didn't even look at the price. I just bought it. I like the Goon. I'm a huge fan. And somebody on Twitter, I posted the picture of the cover on Twitter yesterday, and somebody said, "God, I saw that at the comic book shop, but I was too scared because it looks like an omnibus to flip it over and see what the cost was." And he says, "What was the price?" And I said, $40 cover, and then I probably got like 50% off. So it's $20 for this huge hardcover. So well worth the – but you probably could add it to your order through in-stock trades. Like if you go into DCBS right away and you search for the Goon Library Edition, they should have it. Just add it on there. And you should get it at a reasonable time unless there's something weird going on where they don't have it.
Was that Volume 1?
Yeah.
So they've already solicited Volume 2.
Oh, I better go at it.
In October.
Is it the same price?
Yeah. What the hell is Volume 1? Here we go. Maybe this is where it was. All right. I guess we don't need to do this on the air.
Yeah, Mike or Bill at comicbooknoise.com. Send us emails.
Yes. Complain about how we sit around trying to order the Goon.
Yeah, and how we talk about a lot of dick and eating meat. That'd be a good iTunes review.
You can ask me how Mike's meat tastes.
Yeah. He ate it all during the high school years. Of course, I did his homework.
They're gonna take away my diploma.
Oh, that's right. All right. And Facebook is Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. And we'll see you next time. Say bye bye, Bill.
Bye bye, Bill.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.